If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah! Ooh.
That feels good. Oh, I like that. Oh, man, that's good. Oh, that's really good. Yeah. No. Don't do that. Oh, yes.
Hollywood, can you handle this?
Can anyone smell that?
Right off the hose, I was thinking, like, ah, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first.
He's funny, you know. Not funny, ha-ha. Funny, quick. He likes to go with men instead of women.
Of course not. What an idiotic question. And extremely insulting to me and to my husband. Of course not. And it's silly.
This is Jed the Fish with Trent Reznor. What if your name was Asshore?
If it was Asshore.
Very well, then. The Falcon has spoken.
That's a good point. Oh, wait, no. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
It's also a, what was I just going to say? It just went away.
By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana's bad, okay.
Roll another one. Just like. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Are there other black nerds, or is it just you and Urkel?
Roll.
I am.
Just like the other one.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
This one seems to be about to end.
Marijuana is delicious.
I'm so high. Nothing can hurt me.
We're gonna celebrate with this joint.
And now,
marijuana, you are my best friend. You get me so high when I smoke my bong all day long. Yeah, baby.
Our feature presentation.
You know that guy thought that song was really good when he sang it.
Of course.
When he created and sang it. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, the 25th of January.
It's just a vagina.
I could not be more shocked to see you this morning.
How
I would have, I would have bet $500 that you would not be standing in this room right now.
Oh my God, it's raining!
How dare
it's
you?
It's not even a bet to take. I mean, it's
it was so a foregone conclusion, wasn't it, Mike?
Well, okay.
Oh, well, here's the thing. Lightning already called. He's late because of the traffic, because of the rain. And Lisa already called. She's late. But I'm the kind of person.
And Doc.
But I'm the kind of person. I'm a very conscientious worker, and it really bugs me to be late, so I get here on time because I care.
That's what you're famous for. And by the way, Kevin was not just on time. For Kevin, he was early. I couldn't believe I saw him like 3 minutes ago.
I thought it was
a mirage. That's what's shocking.
I thought it was a mirage.
I did too.
When he walked in, it was unbelievable to me.
I got here just before Dope Bogart. I walked in, and Mike put his arms up in the air like it was the best, like the biggest thing that's ever been done.
I have just been sitting here just quaking. I the whole world has turned. This is 9/11 part 3.
Oh, come on. How dare you?
First there was 9/11, then there was Dave and Yasmin hooking up, and now you're here early on a day when it's raining when other people are late.
Yeah, everyone else is late because they don't care.
Because they don't care.
But I care. Sometimes
plus,
I care too much. That's my weakness.
Well, that's what you're notorious for. Plus, Kevin emailed me after 5 a.m.
That's true.
That's the other thing that is just blowing my mind.
I should be in my car by 5. But the good thing is when you're running late, this is the perfect kind of day because you can hydroplane all the way to work.
Oh, I see.
And that's fun.
Good on gas, too.
Yes.
So if it's really, really wet out,
yes,
you just go super fast so that you're not on the roads very long.
Right. I think that's our advice. Get off the road as quickly as you can. So, you know, if you have to go 100, I think the Highway Patrol in this particular case would say that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay.
No?
All right. Now, we wanted to get some phone numbers to get the update from the team in the field for Kevin and Bean's Stormwatch 2008, but apparently Alex, who is in charge of the phone numbers, is not here. Have we been able to find...
King of Mexico has got us both Alex and Lisa's numbers.
Let's call Lisa first.
Let's call Lisa, because Lisa, by the way, is the type of employee who is really upset that she's late. I mean, she never is late and must be hating this right now.
Oh, please. She doesn't care. She's late like every, like, 10 times a month. Oh, wait, that's me. Sorry,
that was me. I'm sorry. Too. I literally don't remember the last time Lisa wasn't here at the start of the show. Literally.
That's true. She's looking.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
She can hear her cell phone ringing, but she doesn't know where it is. She's looking all over the car. Hey!
In my lap, and it
was
on vibrate.
Hey, all right.
I bet you do that a lot, huh?
Do you want to hang up and have us call back?
A lot?
What I really wanted to do was pull off the freeway and go into Denny's, because how would you know that they'd reopen the Hollywood freeway?
Good point.
But then I realized Doc is also on the freeway, and he would blow my cover.
Yeah.
All right.
They completely stopped it for like 10, 15 minutes.
Could you see why? Was it an accident?
Well, here's the funny part. I called Metro and said, what the hell? I've been listening to the traffic reports. I don't know anything. And they looked, and they didn't have anything, so I guess Highway Patrol never called it in. But when we finally got through, they had the left lane coned off, and it was some sort of accident, but I guess it took about 50 minutes to get the cars out of the roadway. I'm sorry, out of the freeway.
Oh, Lisa.
Psycho Mike said that he saw personally three accidents on his drive-in this morning, so they must be pretty widespread.
Well, I know there's a fatal on the 91 westbound at Lakeview.
Oh.
The whole freeway westbound closed.
There's nothing better than at 5:30 in the morning, 5:37. Now, there's nothing better than just sitting on a freeway going, oh, my God.
Yeah, and how long have they been there?
Because I am stopped.
I don't know how long they've been there, but I know it's jammed. And then they had a fatal on the 405 at Atlantic. And then the 710 was closed completely in both directions because of flooding.
Dude.
So I think they've reopened a couple of lanes northbound, but the southbound's still completely closed.
You know what's interesting is I understand when it rains for the first time in a long time, because you always hear about the grease on the road. I mean, you always hear that is understandably a little slicker and people aren't prepared for that. But a day like today, people can see what the hazard is, yet it doesn't seem to make any kind of difference in terms of making traffic move safely or smoothly.
Well, I think it's the puddles, don't you? I mean, the flooding. It's more than puddles. It's the flooding, and it's still dark, so it's kind of hard to see sometimes.
Exactly. But most people are not conscientious drivers like me. So
like you are.
That's Kevin, most people don't care.
I got here on time.
But does it...
I listened to the opening, and I'm like, well, it's just going to be Bean and Mike.
How dare you? What's with the lack of confidence everybody has?
Because we know you. But here's what I don't understand, because Doc, doesn't he live in the valley just like you guys do?
Yep. Yes.
Then how come Kevin was able to make it and you guys weren't, if you're all coming kind of from the same direction?
I come from the other way. I come from the Tarzana area, and I'm going east to get to the 405, and Lisa's going west to get to the 405.
I don't take the 405. Gotcha. Doc and
you don't take
the Hollywood freeway.
Ah, okay.
So there you go.
We're on a different freeway.
She and Doc are, you know, they're in sync.
And I ride a bike. I take a bicycle
to work in the carpool lane.
Doc is in sync? I didn't even know that.
No.
That's weird.
That's so cool.
By the way, speaking of Denny's, I have to mention this. You guys would have laughed out loud. Yesterday, I finally became that guy. I was at Denny's by myself having dinner.
At 4:30.
At 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon.
Did they give you the senior discount?
Dinner?
No. I didn't get the senior discount, but I even had to look at myself and go, so it's come to this.
Yes.
It was me. There were two other tables at the restaurant. One was a couple in their 80s, and the other was four people who were in their 90s, and me. We were in at 4 p.m. having dinner at Denny's. I thought, this is my future. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Future my ass. It's your present.
Yeah. it's your present and a little bit of the past, actually.
it was good time. So, Lisa, what's your prognosis? How long till you get here?
I think 10 minutes.
Oh, that's just embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed if I were you coming in that late.
I'm never late, though. And they closed the freeway. anyway, what can I do?
Hey, Lisa, you know, when you're late, you got to bring in food. You know that, right?
No.
Yes.
Does that make you later?
Well, sure, but we get food that way.
But I shouldn't be later.
All right, listen, do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying I'm conscientious and you apparently aren't.
Wow, Lisa does
hungry.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Lisa does play by her own rules, man. Shows up whenever she wants, just scoffs at your suggestions on how to make things work.
Yes, you do. All right, Lisa, we'll see you in about an hour.
All right, bye.
That is so weird to have her not here, isn't it? I mean, she's the rock. She's what keeps the show together.
She is, except for when we're, you know, it's funny, except for when we're on location, she's almost always late.
I'm lost.
Because she gets lost. Is Nick riding with her? Is that what's happening? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Today, we are going to do the grand prize drawing for K-Rock's World Tour 2008 destination number 3, which is Jack Johnson in Australia.
Right. That's a pretty good combination right there.
And I believe we have one more qualifier left. So between now and 7:20, we're going to qualify somebody else.
Great.
We got Brock Lesnar talking about UFC 81. He's fighting Frank Mir. And if you haven't seen him, he is the size of 14 guys. The monster.
He's on the cover of the current Muscle and Fitness.
You don't have to tell me.
He is really, he's probably the most intimidating human being that's ever existed.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he make like a Dolph Lundgren in his prime look like a little girl? Is that what you're saying?
Dolph Lundgren looks like Rodney now compared to Brock Lesnar.
So anyway, we're going to talk to him about the UFC. We got the movie beat. Ralph will tell you what new movies are coming to the theater, and that reminds me.
Heroes don't die. They just reload.
That's correct. Isn't that the best clip ever? Rambo. Heroes don't die. They just reload. That's fantastic. Best movie weapons of all time? We did the list yesterday, but a lot of K-Rock listeners came up with some great suggestions that should have been on the list.
Yeah, they were very disappointed with some of the choices in the top 10 list that Ralph read yesterday, the best movie weapons of all time. And there have been, as they started to bring some of them up, there have been some great ones that I got to agree may have been overlooked on that list.
I'm taking Jerry O'Connell in the Death Pool.
No.
Because he's on the internet making fun of Tom Cruise and his religion, in air quotes.
Isn't it interesting, by the way? I don't know if you've noticed, but this week there has been a public outpouring of support by celebrities of Tom Cruise. You know, everybody from Will Smith to Adam Sandler, all, like out of the blue, it seems like these people are coming forward and standing up and saying, hey, dude, he's a great guy and a good friend and a hard worker and leave him alone. And it almost seems orchestrated. There are so many of them in a row.
Are they Scientologists?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, not all of them are. And I have to chime in on that because when I worked at K-Rock, when I first started here, I worked in the promotions department. And I'm not a pro-Scientology guy by any means, but they did a promotion with Tom Cruise meeting listeners, K-Rock listeners, for the opening of one of his movies. I believe it was Minority Report. I might be mistaken. But it was one of his big blockbuster movies. And they do that a lot with a lot of the big Hollywood stars. And I have to say, he was easily the most down-to-earth, the most approachable. He was so nice and personable to all the listeners.
Well,
he
that's been our experience as well. We've interviewed him before. He is the coolest. Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah. But, but we can watch the video and it scares us.
I agree. Don't get me wrong. I'm as freaked by you. But seeing him in person, I could see how people would come to his defense because he was overwhelmingly nice and personable. And
They got to Mike. Omar just hit my earphones. They got him. They got him. Now he's one of them.
What are your crimes?
And also the director of the U2 movie, U2 3D, I believe it's called. It's a 3D movie that's already in the theaters. Came out on, I believe, Wednesday. We're going to talk to her coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. And we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
Oh, that was a good part.
Wait, here's my favorite.
That's from the Academy Award-nominated Juno movie, isn't it?
That's correct, yes.
Is that where he punched the guy's head off, Kevin?
That's where
that scene?
That's where it happened.
Dude, he punches a guy's head off.
No, Kevin, I'm pretty sure it's cut up.
No! It's punched off.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
Okay.
It's 5:49. Ralph reviews Rambo and everything else coming up in the movie beat later on this morning. Right now, he's here with the showbiz beat for a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
It's hard to punch somebody's head off, even as strong as I am.
Never seen it done before, that's all.
It's because no one can do it.
Oh.
See Barack Obama and Letterman last night?
No.
No.
I did not.
Oh, he's a funny semi-Negro.
He is a African American. You're right about that. Yes. It is funny that if you're a tiny, even if you're a tiny bit black, you get to be black.
Isn't that nice?
It's weird.
I don't know.
You get the full Monty right there.
I don't know if that's true for the black community, though. I don't know if they look at him that way. I think if you got a little white in you, you're screwed. I think for a certain amount.
You are wrong, sir.
Wrong? I think he's wrong too.
I went to the Martin Luther King parade. They were all. He might as well have been Frederick Douglass. He was.
Yeah, I think they look for a little taste. Just anything, just to hang their hat on. It's all good.
I got you.
He was on Letterman last night doing the top 10 list that he taped in between campaign spots for Dave. And I'll play some a little bit throughout the show, but just some very funny campaign promises in the top 10 list last night.
I have a clip of a few of those if you want to hear it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude. All right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right?
My favorite part.
Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right?
All right?
Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross.
Yeah.
All right, man. I got to go. Later.
I'm pretty sure that it was Omar from his feature film, Cucamonga Heat, more than it was Barack Obama.
Oh, sorry. Search for that on YouTube, by the way, Cucamonga Heat.
Omar is like a young Ralph Richardson there.
He is.
The young Shakespearean actor.
I don't know who that is.
Ralph Richardson.
Yeah, he's a famous Shakespearean actor.
Kevin, underneath where you wrote down, look up Frederick Douglass, right?
Yeah.
Look up Ralph Richardson.
Okay.
Let's say just insert Laurence Olivier.
Yeah, thank you. I'm
sorry, Lisa. I didn't know how to dumb it down.
Give me somebody
for the kids.
I'm
not even going to do this anymore. It's pointless. It's all just rambled on and ripped in half, and it's just in shambles lying at my feet.
I don't even remember what you were talking about.
Either. Let's move on. Heath Ledger's corpse was found by a private masseuse, as we know, in New York City. She's in a bit of trouble.
Why?
Diane Woloshin is her name, could face a potential felony charge because she doesn't have a license to practice in the state of New York.
Uh-oh.
Here's why.
Did you say felony?
Yeah. Anyone who applies for a license to be a masseuse in New York State must show documentation that they've received CPR training. And they're saying had she had that, she may have saved Heath Ledger's life if he was at all conscious when she discovered him.
But was he?
Well, that's what they're trying to figure out. It turns out that when Diane first found the body, the first person she called was Mary Kate Olsen.
Because
that's what
the
I would do.
Right?
We heard the body. It was the bodyguard that she called that she knew, but for Mary Kate Olsen.
No, she knows Mary Kate Olsen.
Oh, so she called
her.
She
called Mary Kate,
and
Mary Kate said, "I'm sending my private security over there."
Okay, got it.
Then she called back Mary Kate and said the body was cold. And I think he may be dead. I'm calling 911. So she called 911 after Mary Kate Olsen. When really, who are you going to call in an emergency? You want to talk to one of those cute little Muppets.
That's unbelievable that she didn't call 911 first.
I'm guessing Diane Woloshin isn't a Mensa member. Anyway, detectives believe that Ledger may have already been dead. However, that doesn't mean that Diane won't be in trouble for not having a license to practice because they say things like this can happen and you got to be ready.
Ralph, the K-Rock microphones, of course, were there at the time. If we listen to the tape, maybe we can hear the phone call. Maybe we can learn a little bit
Go ahead.
Oh, yes, Heath Ledger. Oh, yes. It's like a big sausage. Oh, yes. That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a species spicy sausage. Oh, Heath?
There you go.
So that happened.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Us Weekly magazine is claiming that Jamie Lynn Spears wants to give up her baby to her mother to raise so that she can concentrate on her career.
Oh, no.
Well, who better to raise a baby than the woman who brought up Britney and Jamie Lynn Spears? Because look how they turned out.
Oh, no.
That's an excellent idea. Speaking of Britney, you wonder why the media just stops everything when she gets in trouble and there's photographs out there. Well, Fortune magazine did a story where they documented that she makes up 20% of all the paparazzi business in Hollywood.
Really? 20%?
She's a cottage industry.
Dude.
And kind of she's thighs.
She does have about 80 guys whose job it seems to be full-time to follow her.
They say sales of celebrity magazines rise as much as 30% when she's on the cover.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that's why the media follows her, because she sells.
Wow.
They don't think we want to know. They know we'll buy.
Yep. So I am at burnout on Britney News. I want her to go away for a long, long time and hear nothing about her.
I would be, too, if there wasn't a new story every day.
Yeah.
It just keeps growing. It's not like they're telling us the same thing over and over and over again. TMZ.com this morning, for example, has a story about her driving down Sunset Boulevard on the wrong side of the road last night at 100 miles per hour.
Wow.
Dude.
Did she get a ticket or...
Apparently, this was documented by the paparazzi, not by the police.
Wow. Wrong side of the road.
Yeah.
In the rain.
Yeah.
100 miles an hour.
They also say that she stopped at Petco twice. She went to the store once to pick up some goodies for those puppies that she's raising. Let's take the puppies away from her, too, by the way.
No kidding.
And then she had to circle back and come back to Petco because she forgot her new assistant.
What?
Who was shopping with her at the store.
Why, yes. Brittany? Why?
Wow.
So there you have it. Lindsay Lohan is going to AA, but according to Star Magazine, she couldn't care less. An eyewitness tells the tabloid that Lindsay texted the whole time she was at her most recent meeting and looked really uninterested in being there. Well, Amy's just no fun. First of all,
yeah,
the cocktails are horrible.
They are, yeah. Not very strong.
Lindsay Lohan.
In a related story, Lindsay Lohan's former drug dealer is ready to spill the dirt on his celebrity clients.
Uh-oh. Oh, good. That's what you want in a drug dealer.
For a price.
Yeah.
According to the New York Daily News, a drug dealer has contacted the newspaper saying he is ready to broker a deal to reveal his big budget-named clientele. But the New York Daily News doesn't pay their sources, so they're at an impasse. He gave them one free nugget of information, however. He said that Lindsay and her then-boyfriend, Riley Giles, were looking for cocaine during their New York vacation recently.
He's the one that she left rehab with, right?
Exactly, Lisa. But the dealer said he wouldn't serve them because she just left rehab. So he's a dealer with a heart of gold.
There's no dealer. There's no real dealer out there who turns down business because it's not good for him.
Your dealer's never turned you down.
I'm just saying.
He never turned you down.
That's ridiculous.
If anyone's dealer should turn them down, it's Kevin's, and he knows. He can get it any time he wants.
I love a drug dealer who won't sell to you because you're hooked on dope.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, maybe when you're hooked, but because you're trying to kick, you know. It's bad for business.
They care that way.
It's bad for business.
Oh, sure.
Many movie theaters are putting up posters now outside saying if you have motion sickness, you shouldn't see Cloverfield.
I'm tired of cleaning
apparently,
it up.
Apparently, theater owners are tired of cleaning the vomit up on the seats and in the aisles of the theater and would like to give people a heads up so that maybe they won't make the mistake.
I just threw up.
Seeing
oh, my God, it's raining!
That's not rain.
Oh, ugly. Ugly.
And you warned them, Ralph. You warned them before they went to see it.
No
you
one
said,
listens.
Sit in the back of the theater. Trust me on this one.
No one listens. I started to warn them. Then Kevin played the Omar clip, and everyone forgot what I was talking about.
How dare you?
Amy Winehouse is in rehab.
Really?
No.
Yes, yes, yes. Her peeps have released a statement said that she entered a treatment facility in London yesterday. Now, I'm sure this has nothing to do with the fact that a video was all over the internet showing Amy sucking on a crack pipe. And that detectives from Scotland Yard are checking out that situation. I'm sure it has nothing to do with that. It's not a preemptive strike at all.
Of course not.
Well, if we learned anything from Scotland Yard's crack investigation into people with crack pipes and how well it was...
investigation!
Well, I'm just saying...
crack investigation, you said!
They had Kate Moss on video and couldn't do anything about it. I don't think Amy's got anything to worry about.
That was blow. It's not crack.
Yeah, but
come on.
They're still going to say they can't prove what was in the pipe.
Come on, Bean. Blow is go. Crack is whack.
Blow as go?
Yes.
Thank you, Whitney.
I didn't realize that.
They say, however, the people in charge of her, that Amy's still going to attend the Grammys on February 10th. So I'm glad she's taking this seriously in terms of the whole rehab thing.
Like she was nominated for 6 Grammys.
She is up for 6 Grammys, yeah. Have they called you yet about doing the voiceover?
No, of course not.
Ladies and gentlemen, Amy Beerholm. It's Winehouse. It's Winehouse, Kevin.
Annie Winehouse.
That's Amy. We got some time. Give me a little
nope.
taste of Kevin.
Got no time.
Please.
Kevin,
I hear this so
pre-recording
much.
His Grammy and his Grammy announcements.
When I he don't was the, believe I have an excellent right. fingertips for this hour.
Psycho Mike's got it. He's going to.
Give me a sec.
That's all right.
We have time.
I'll stall.
This one's deep in the vault. I'm
they
sorry
haven't
to
called
say.
Kevin yet because they haven't gone through the whole list of the other people they call first.
Yeah, right.
That's why
right.
they only call
Dick
him
Clark,
a week out.
Would you like to do it?
No, I can't do this. Oh, Christ. We got to call him again? Who else do we have?
How dare
it's
you?
Hawking.
I pass.
By the way, tomorrow, I want to give you a heads up. We are doing the Santa Anita Festival once again. K-Rock Microbrew Festival for the Sunshine Millions races. It's going to be a blast. Gates open at 10 a.m. First race, I think, is like 11:45. Anyway, there's 10 thoroughbred races. There's going to be 60 different kinds of beer that you can sample.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a blast. I'm going to be there. Lisa May's going to be there. Psycho Mike's going to be there. Lightning. DJ Omar Khan will be on the ones and twos. Assistant producer Alex will also be stopping by.
And that's rain or shine, right, Ralph?
Yeah. Yes. It's supposed to be just maybe some sprinkles tomorrow, so it really shouldn't be an issue. But they're going to tent the area just in case, so you won't get too soaked if you
And they
go
have
out.
That new track for the horses.
Yeah.
Remember that?
We're not going to talk about that.
No, that's good.
It's not good.
Why?
Because they're having trouble with the runoff and the rain on the
oh,
new track.
Really?
They had to cancel the races yesterday.
Oh,
because
they
laid down a giant new track, the state-of-the-art new track, and the water is just not running off the track.
The way it's supposed to.
So the horses were swimming to the finish line,
oh.
and they didn't appreciate
wow.
that at all. So, but it should be all good tomorrow. So it's 10 a.m. The gates open. It's $5 to get in. You can't beat it. You get a free beach towel, for Christ's sake. What more do we have to do to get you out there? Come on out and say hi. We'll be there all day tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun, so check it out. Do we have Kevin with his Grammy? Okay. Grammy
notes? Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number one. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number one. Send the number two. Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once... God damn it. Mary J. Blige in a once-in-a-lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word one. Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. Wow. With Carrie Underwood and Riscoe Flatts. Okay, I said both those names wrong. Sorry, again. Ludacris, the 49th Annual Grammy Awards with Vintin. An unforgettable. Let's do it again. No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley. Okay, that's gay riding. You know that, right? Okay. No, I want to do it again. That's vodka and Red Bull for 4 days in a row in Miami. I could quite possibly die during this recording session. And shit. Come on.
Wow. Wow.
That is
enjoyable.
That's better than I expected.
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe you're right, Kevin. Maybe they won't call me.
Seriously. I mean, why would they?
Wow.
Extended
I was
yeah,
hungover.
That was the remix. That was spectacular.
Awesome. I was very hungover in my own defense.
Omar, put that to a rave bed, would you, and send it back to us.
Man, that's a dance hit right there.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays for Friday, the 25th of January. Alicia Keys turns 28 years old today. And she is just diabolically hot.
She's the best. She got the number one album in America again this week.
She's got
and
it
she
all.
Deserves it.
She's got
she's
everything.
Awesome. Beautiful.
I'm not even going on. That's just it. Happy birthday, Alicia Keys.
Wow.
Just want to do so many bad things to you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph did a story yesterday that I thought was interesting. We all love going to the movies, and we love seeing the great movie weapons that are up on the big screen. And 20th Century Fox did a survey recently of 2,000 moviegoers to ask what the all-time favorite movie weapons were. And I wasn't surprised. I don't think you were either, Kevin, that number one was the lightsaber from Star Wars. I mean, that's just – talk about the coolest weapon in the world. It's just the coolest weapon in the world. I mean, a lightsaber. How do you top that, right? But beyond that, I think a lot of people were really upset when Ralph mentioned this list yesterday. People thought it was kind of bogus, some of the stuff that made the top 10 of all time versus some of the stuff that they thought should clearly have been on the list.
Yeah, this is one of those categories where, as you think about it, you go, oh, yeah, that was great. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. The list is 44 Magnum for Dirty Harry. That's number two. The whip from Indiana Jones. The samurai sword from Kill Bill.
Now, let me tell you something about the whip. Whip on its own, not that impressive. In the hands of Indiana Jones, he's able to do so much with it. I mean, he really makes that thing work.
Yes. Same thing with the chainsaw, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worker, not the chainsaw. Golden Gun, James Bond, the man with the golden gun. Bow and arrow from Robin Hood. Seriously.
That seems bad.
Seriously.
Yeah, number seven on the list. That's the one that most people said, hey, I've got something better to substitute for a freaking bow and arrow.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. The best movie weapons of all time. Number 8 is The Machine Gun and Scarface. Say hello to my little friend.
Oh, sure.
I was watching that again the other day. That's a good movie. But they should use the F word. They don't.
Yeah, that's the problem. That is the problem.
The Death Star from Star Wars is number 9. The Death Star. It's a full-size planet that kills.
Just
and
death.
I wondered
it got
if
beat by the bow and arrow. Come
on. That does seem kind of bogus.
You put Robin Hood with a bow and arrow up against the Death Star and Robin Hood wins. Come on.
You got to remember, though, that the Death Star, for as powerful as it was, and remember, it could blow up planets, it was able to be taken out of commission, basically, with one little X-Wing fighter. I mean, it did have a weakness, and maybe that's why it didn't rank higher on the list.
Ah, one little fighter with the Force, my friend.
With the Force. That's true. The Force was involved.
And the number 10 is the bowler hat from James Bond Goldfinger, which I never saw.
Oh.
So I don't know what that is.
Well,
apparently,
it was way cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a frisbee, basically. They just sliced your head right off. But, you know, people were calling and emailing yesterday. They were just furious at some of the stuff that wasn't in. I mean, Wolverine's claws, for instance, perfect example. I mean, talk about an awesome weapon, and it's always with him, right? Kevin, you mentioned, speaking of claws, you mentioned Edward Scissorhands yesterday. I mean, talk about a guy who's got something cool to work with, right?
He accidentally hurt people with those.
Right. I mean, that has to be
a weapon.
Has to be ahead of the bow and freaking arrow, doesn't it?
Yes. Everything has to be in front of the bow and arrow. All right, let's go to Jake in Anaheim. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, how's it going, guys? What's up, Kevin Bean? This is May.
Hi, Jake.
Best movie weapons of all time.
I'm going to have to say Rocky's Fist.
Rocky's Fist.
<That's> pretty good.
Hard to beat. Not so much the fist, but the guy behind him. He beat up a lot of people with those fists. Thank you for the call. Let's go to George in Fullerton. Good morning, George.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hi, George.
Hey, I was pretty much saying that one gun from the Fifth Element that had the rocket launcher, and the flamethrower.
Yeah,
I love that thing.
That was quite a weapon. You're right.
Yeah,
that's
I
a good movie.
I have one in my living room. But.
I wish you had that too, but oh well. Thank you, George, for the call.
1-800-520-1067. There were quite a few people yesterday, Kevin, who brought up a weapon in your favorite movie of all time, and that's the gun from Ghostbusters.
Yep.
They're like, come on! How can that not be in the top 10 movie weapons of all time?
Well, you can't cross the streams because life as we know it will end. I mean, really. That's pretty strong. All right, let's go to Anthony in Corona. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Okay, no one mentioned the glaive from the movie Crawl.
Okay. I don't recognize any of the words that you just used.
I don't either.
I don't know what a glaive is. I don't know what a crawl is.
I think Ralph would probably know if you ask him. It's a 5-pointed star that this guy throws, and there's some knives that come out of the ends of it.
Nice.
And it comes back to him kind of like boomerang style.
Okay, I understood that
pretty
part.
Cool.
I understood that part. He was speaking English in the second part of that sentence.
But they call it the glaive?
Yeah.
It's a movie called The Crawl?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Hey, say hi to Roland when you see him.
All right. Let's go to Damon in Long Beach. Good morning, Damon. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, party people. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Damon.
First of all, gay on the bow and arrow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes, absolutely.
If you're gonna go bow and arrow, you got to go Rambo.
Sure.
And the Terminator 2 Gatling gun has got to be one of the coolest of all time.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too. It's way better than the bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kicks the crap out of the bow and arrow.
Yeah, we can't say that word. Yep, that's right. It does. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take some more calls right after.
Bogus survey of 2,000 movie fans came up with a list of the top 10 movie weapons of all time. And I know the problem with any list of 10, if you've got thousands to choose from, is that something inevitably is going to be left off the list and people are going to be upset about it. But seriously, how do you not put Rose McGowan's machine gun leg from Grindhouse on
yes,
that list.
Exactly.
How is that not one of the coolest movie weapons of all time ever?
It's an automatic leg.
I don't
it's
think
the
they
best.
Gave people time to think. They just like surprised them with it.
Well, that's the problem.
We've molded it over.
That's why you don't get good stuff.
We are trying to add to the top 10 at 1-800-520-1067. At a minimum, we've got to get Robin Hood's freaking bow and arrow off this list and replace it with something else. So 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with David in Anaheim with a controversial pick on line 4. David, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
How about Superman's eye?
Superman's eye?
Yeah, laser beams coming out of his eye.
Yeah, I know.
Is that a weapon, though, or is that just something that he physically is able to do because he's an alien? I don't think that even counts as a weapon, dude.
It's his weapon.
Well,
right?
I guess I think he uses it as a weapon, I guess.
It's like a heat ray, you know? Like a...
I think we know
that
what...
That seems pretty cool to me.
We know what you're talking
it
about,
is
David.
It is cool. I just don't know that it... All right, well, I mean, we'll accept it, obviously. It's certainly worthy of consideration. I don't think I'd consider it a movie weapon because it's just... It's like somebody's strength. It's just something he comes with, he's born with. You know what I mean?
What about the force, then?
Thank you for the call.
See, the force is weak as well because it can be used either way.
The force is not weak, Kevin. The force is strong.
I have to chime in here. A lot of these on the original list are, like you said, it's not necessarily the weapon themselves. It's the user and how he or she mm-hmm. puts it to use. If that's the case, then the gun that Arnold Schwarzenegger takes into the police station in the original Terminator wins all. He serves like 150 dudes. It's not even, you know what I'm saying?
Without
like
reloading.
Yeah, he has to win.
Okay, that's not bad.
Let's try Martin. He's on line 8 calling us from Los Angeles this morning. Here's an old school but a great weapon. Martin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, how could anybody overlook the good old phaser from Star Trek?
The phaser.
Phaser's pretty cool.
Oh, you're right.
You could set it for kill or stun, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
You can take them out. Or Spock's Vulcan's pinch. Me. And also... The bullets from that Gene Simmons movie that followed whoever you shot him
at. Right.
Was that in Phantom of the Park?
No, it was Tracers or something like that. I can't even remember the name of it.
Yeah.
But it was, Lisa's boyfriend, Gene Simmons.
That's right. Okay.
He's in love
with
him.
Star Trek phasers. Great, great call. Yes. Thank you for that.
Let's go to Ricardo, who is calling us from the LBC. Good morning, Ricardo.
Yeah, if they had any kind of arrow or anything, they should have Van Helsing's automatic crossbow.
Yeah, I think an automatic crossbow is pretty cool.
Yeah, I can.
Certainly. I mean, I don't think there's been one that has been mentioned that shouldn't be above the bow and arrow of Robin Hood. That's the one that could just come off easily. Raul in Palmdale, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Not only is mine one of the top five, but it's one of the best weapons ever.
Okay.
The Annihilator from Beverly Hills Cop 3. Not only did this thing have rocket launcher, machine gun, and net launcher, but it had AMS, FTD, TV, and a microwave oven.
Well, you got my vote.
It's pretty hard to beat that kind of service, huh? In
yeah,
a weapon.
You need to kill somebody? Got machine gun. You need to heat up your burrito? You got that too.
All right. Vicious. I think that moves right into number one as far as I'm concerned.
Let's talk to Johnny on line 7. He's calling from Tustin. I don't know what on earth movie this is from.
Johnny, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Johnny.
Best movie weapon.
The flying guillotine from The Master of the Flying Guillotine can't be topped. I'm sorry.
Somebody flying guillotine.
I haven't seen that movie. Is it an actual guillotine that flies?
What's going on with our in-house movie guy? What's going on with Ralph Garman? He doesn't know about
that? He's in the other room. Just to answer our question, dude.
Strictly for the record. We got to get Psycho Mike in a movie because he'll rapidly become top of the list.
As a weapon?
Look at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Psycho Mike himself.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you.
All right. There we go. There's some love right there.
Dave has some information on the flying guillotine.
Yeah, I've seen this movie. Yeah. It's awesome. It's this old blind dude who throws the flying guillotine at you.
Mm-hmm.
It gets on your head and then chops it off. It's the best, dude. And he's blind.
That is pretty cool.
That is the best. The guy's blind and he can cut your head
off. He'll cut like wooden beams right down and he tears down this house with the flying guillotine.
Does he know where you are? Does he just guess or does the flying guillotine do it himself?
And his eyebrows, they twitch. And then
his eyebrows twitch. And
gone,
then the flying
head is gone.
Wow, that is pretty strong.
Uh-oh.
Yes, Ralph.
Speaking of flying, I can't believe no one yet has mentioned the flying sphere from Phantasm.
It's on line one. Yeah, Michael in San Pedro is calling about that right now.
Michael?
Yeah. That flying sphere from Phantasm with the three knife blades that come out and then the drill drills right in the middle of that guy's forehead.
Yeah, bores a hole in your skull. Goes right into your brain.
That's gotta be like number one. That's even better than the lightsaber because the lightsaber, that's the guy behind it also. Because if you don't know how to use it, you're just gonna cut yourself up.
I guess,
That's a good point.
But that's true. You hurt yourself with a lightsaber. I've seen accidents.
Isn't that true of all the weapons?
I tried to cut a bagel once with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Took my finger right off.
Yeah. Wow.
It's got to hurt.
No, but the Phantasm sphere would follow you. It'd be like running through the graveyard.
And it would be able to tell where you go?
Yes, it would follow you like a heat-seeking missile and then just bore a hole right in your skull. Suck your brain out.
Strong.
Ralph, you weren't in the room when the listener brought up a Gene Simmons movie that had bullets that followed you everywhere you went. What was he talking about?
Runaway.
What movie was it?
Runaway with Tom Selleck.
Runaway.
One of the great action movies ever.
Never heard of it.
Tom Selleck plays a futuristic cop, and Gene Simmons is a robot genius who's got a gun with heat-seeking bullets. And they fire the bullets at you, and they follow you everywhere, and then they explode when they hit you.
Nice.
Here's an email from
Gene Simmons.
Hey, Gene's here. Hey,
he's here right now.
I've got some warm bullets that'll follow your face wherever it goes.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey, what the hell?
Gene, yeah,
hey,
listen. Cynthia Rhodes and Tom Selleck in Runaway. Rent it.
Victor writes in with a great one, a great movie weapon from a movie that opened last week, ladies and gentlemen. How about the vagina dentata? How about the chick's hoo-ha from Teeth?
I don't know. I kind of put that along with Superman's eyes as sort of a superpower more than a weapon.
Plus, she has to be really close for that to be effective.
Yeah. She has to be really angry, too.
Not like you could throw it from across the room. Let's go to Jim in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning. How's everybody going?
Good.
We're going good.
We have a 10 best movie weapons list. What do you think?
Men in Black, the noisy cricket that Will Smith used, the little gun that threw him back into the trash cans.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Little tiny gun that takes half a city out.
That was pretty cool.
That
little
was pretty
cricket.
Cool. Yeah.
All very right. Cool.
That goes on my top 10. Thank you for the call. We have way too many that we don't have time to get to.
You know what's not really a weapon, but from that movie, but also is very cool, is the mind eraser thing. That little flash dealy they got that wipes your mind clean.
Why don't we close with Marco and Van Nuys while we're talking about a great weapon in a modern-day movie.
Marco, good morning.
Good morning. It's that air gun from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the question. Is it an air gun? Because I didn't know if it was a nail gun or an air gun. Does it shoot
same premise. It's an air compressor.
It just shoots through, people's brains.
Right.
So they can't find no bullet or nothing.
I know.
Sounds to me like they got to you with it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Producers have revealed the title of the new James Bond movie.
We wish the Striders right.
No!
We wish the writer's strike would end. Is that the name of it? Sorry.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
How about a moment with Kevin where we say we're going to come out with that and he starts talking right away in front of it?
That wasn't me. That was Mike.
Oh, wait a second.
Really?
This is just like you.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Nick Logoteta, I want to say, from Brea, who just is our final qualifying winner. He's won tickets to go see Coachella featuring Jack Johnson and is qualified for the grand prize drawing. We do it about a half an hour from right now to see Jack Johnson one more time, this time in Australia. So that's on the way from the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:55. Ralph's got the Friday Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Speaking of the James Bond movie, Orpheus with Solace, or whatever the hell it's called.
Horrible. What is it called again? It's got a terrible name.
It's called...
The Quantum.
Quantum of Solace. Quantum of Solace. James Bond in Quantum of Solace.
That can't be possible.
It sounds
more like a Harry Potter title than it does a James Bond title.
Oh, it sounds like something Helen Mirren should be starring in.
Yes, exactly.
It was the worst of times in England, but together they found a Quantum of Solace. Ivory Merchant presents...
Yeah, that's not a good name.
Turns out it is the name of a short story Ian Fleming wrote about James Bond in the collection of short stories called For Your Eyes Only. The book is a series of short stories.
So it's really going to be named that?
It's really going to be named that.
Wow.
Dude.
Look, I don't care. I don't care if Ian Fleming comes back from the dead and says, hey, this is the name you should use. Horrible name.
Bad name.
Horrible.
It is, and it's not aged well.
And the Bond movies have some of the great titles ever. You know, Live and Let Die is a great one.
Yep.
Yeah.
For Your Eyes Only, Goldfinger, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, Diamonds Are Forever,
Quantum of Solace.
Doesn't quite fit the pantheon.
Ralph, do you expect me to like that name?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Nice. Speaking of the Striker's Ride, whatever Kevin said yesterday.
How dare you.
It looks like they're back in talks.
Oh, good.
Finally.
The writers and the producers alliance said yesterday in a joint statement they are starting informal discussions aimed at a full negotiation and end to the nearly three-month-old strike. Writers Guild, to show good faith, has dropped two of their demands already entering into the discussions. They were looking for the unionization of reality and animation television shows. They decided to forego those demands.
Right.
As they said, to make absolutely clear our commitment to bringing a speedy conclusion to negotiations. So it looks like this time they're serious.
I hope so.
Yeah, they're all about speedy conclusions when they haven't even sat down together for 6 weeks.
That was my radio name back in the 60s.
Speedy conclusions.
Good. Your radio name?
Yeah. Kevin, you know the Blue Man Group, right?
Of course.
What did they do?
Are you looking for the guys who paint their faces red? Is that the guys you're talking about?
Yeah,
those guys.
That's them.
Yeah.
Apparently, an audience member is suing them.
Yes, got some red paint on them.
Here's the thing about the Blue Man Group, if you've never seen the show. We saw it in Vegas a couple years ago. It's very interactive. The audience plays a large role.
Oh, is that right? They bring people up on stage or what?
They ask you to do a lot of... You didn't go with us, did you, when we went to see that?
I was drunk.
And they
drinking.
Pull, like, this... What do they pull over the audience? Like, was it a big sheet or something? Do you remember that?
It was drinking and gambling.
I don't
remember
that.
May have been a dream.
Yeah, maybe. You under the sheets in Vegas is a whole other story, I think. But apparently they do have a section of the show where they go out in the audience and they've got one of those arthroscopic cameras that they use in operations, you know, the fiber optic cameras.
Right.
And they go into an audience member's mouth.
Right.
And they stick it in your mouth and they show it. And it's on the giant screen. And for everyone's entertainment, they show your teeth and your tongue and your throat and everything.
Right.
Well, this guy is suing them. The guy they did it to in Chicago.
You've got to be kidding.
Because what?
He said the actors attacked him, held his neck and arms, and forced his head back to insert a camera into his mouth.
They attacked him.
He was restrained from removing the camera from his mouth, he claims.
Oh, please.
He said the camera was covered in food, liquid, and grime.
And
the thick
that.
Blue paint used to cover the actors' faces.
Please.
He is seeking damages of $50,000 for battery, negligence, and negligent infliction of emotional distress.
He says we've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
He contends the camera injured his mouth, throat, and dental work. Look, they didn't mug him outside the theater in the alleyway. They just put a camera in your mouth.
Yeah.
You big wussy.
Yeah.
It's me.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. What's up, Gene Simmons?
Good morning, everybody. I talked to you yesterday. Yeah. It's good to be back.
And just 5 minutes ago, too, you talked to us.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Speaking of damaging the throat, teeth, and mouth.
Yeah, that's probably enough.
Thank you, Gene.
John Ritter's family is suing over his death.
The Blue Man Group killed John Ritter?
Oh, Gilligan.
I don't think they're suing the Blue Man Group.
You may remember John Ritter, a star, of course, of Three's Company and Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, passed away in April of 2003, and Ritter's family is now blaming two doctors who they think were responsible for killing him.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Apparently, he went in to have a... What happens was he had a rupture in his aorta. He had an enlarged aorta. It was either congenital or from high blood pressure or something. And when they took him to the hospital, they thought he was having a heart attack. So they treated him for heart attack. And the treatment actually exacerbated the condition and caused his aorta to burst. And by the time they got him into surgery, by then it was too late. So they are suing the doctor in the emergency room because the radiologist, the ER doctor said, we need an X-ray on this guy's chest. The radiologist never did it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and they said if they had seen the X-ray, they probably would have seen the enlarged aorta and gotten a clue as to what the problem was, that it wasn't a heart attack, it was this other thing. And he also had one of those body scans done in 2001.
Right.
They have this thing now, American
Scan.
The full body scan, where apparently they're supposed to see everything. And they're saying he must have had the enlarged aorta at that point, but they didn't spot it or didn't notify his medical team about it. So
wow.
They are suing, this is the interesting part of the story, for $67 million in damages.
Holy smokes.
$67 million?
Yes.
66, not enough.
No, $67 million. And they say that is based on his potential earning power because it was a hit show on ABC at the time of his death. And they're saying that's what potentially he could have earned for his family throughout the run of that show.
Hey, they could have made a bad Santa, too, that he wouldn't have been around to be in, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
That seems really lame. Doesn't it?
They could have made Sling Blade, too. He wouldn't have been...
That's right.
He's a little funny.
I have the quote from his doctor who spoke out about the charges, if you'd like to hear, Ralph.
Okay.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
That's
his doctor?
That's heartless.
Like,
that's doctor right there.
Oh, my God. Because he killed him.
You were yet at me.
Did you hurt yourself reaching for that one?
I'm just saying, he's accused of killing the guy. He's saying how easy it is to kill people. That's
seriously.
You don't get it, man.
You guys catch Barack Obama on Letterman last night?
Did not.
He did the top 10 list of his campaign promises. It was a bit he had recorded in between campaign stops in South Carolina yesterday. Showing a pretty good sense of humor. Here's some of the top 10 list, Barack Obama's campaign promises.
Top 10 Barack Obama campaign promises. Here we go. Number 9.
I will double your tax money at the craps table.
Good idea.
8. Appoint Mitt Romney Secretary of Looking Good.
Yes, sir. 5.
I'll rename the 10th month of the year
Baracktober.
Baracktober. How about that?
Number three.
I'll find money in the budget to buy Letterman a decent hairpiece.
Thank you. Two.
Pronounce the word nuclear. Nuclear.
How about that? And the number one Barack Obama campaign promise.
Three words. Vice President Oprah.
Yeah.
There we go. Vice President funny. Oprah.
Hey, that's a landslide if he could make that happen.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Can you imagine?
No. I don't want her in power.
Can you imagine?
That just happened.
Oh.
He's one talented Negro.
So you know, we'd all be living in cages, and there'd be man camps and stuff, yep. And we'd all be castrated.
Where do I vote?
See? That's what I'm talking about. Exactly. People like this.
I know.
New basement, boys. It's for you.
I'm so fat.
Bean, you missed out. We discovered a new sub-basement under the basement this week.
Oh, really?
While you're on jury duty.
Whole nother level.
Yeah, apparently, Jesus has been working feverishly to get that in place.
There's a whole new renovation going on down there. There's a sub-basement now we put her in. It was very entertaining.
It wasn't low enough to put her in the basement?
No.
She needed to go further underground?
She kept yelling
hear
up.
Her. You can still hear her. It was like
a
nightmare.
Oh, she's mouthing off like women do.
She kept coming up the stairs. It was horrible. It was peeling paint.
You know, I know a lot of people think God is infallible, but why did he give women the ability to talk? What's that about?
Oh, for God's sake.
God only knows.
Remember, Planet Apes, the first one with Charlton Heston? That really smoking hot chick who was banging around was totally mute.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Nova.
I hope your wife
perfect
is hearing
woman.
Those.
You can't perfect woman. Talk to me again, you Nova. She said nothing.
Awesome.
Awesome.
What is wrong with you people?
But he found a way to keep her mouth busy.
You know we're wrong? Words. You're saying we're wrong, Kevin?
Yes, I am.
Your wife must be listening.
I don't think she is.
Yeah.
She's probably talking.
Like
she can't
when
listen.
Women
She's
talk
talking
to me. I like it. It's fun.
Don't get me wrong. I'm the one that put Lisa in the sub basement. Sometimes
true.
That's needed, but not always.
By sometimes,
I mean not always.
I mean constantly. Today's celebrity birthday is Alicia Keys. She is smoking hot.
She's allowed to talk.
And you know what else? Her skin is peaches and cream now, thanks to.
I heard it's
Accutane,
silky,
whatever the hell.
Silky smooth cocoa
proactive,
butter skin.
Proactive. She's got that proactive working for her now, and she looks good.
It's like Kevin,
Kevin and I had the opportunity to interview her at the MTV Video Music Awards a couple of years ago in Miami. And you think she's beautiful on the TV, and she is. You see her in person, and she. Am I right, Kevin? She doesn't seem real. She's so perfect.
She looks like a China doll. I don't think we even planned on airing it. We just had her sit down because we wanted to sit with her for a while.
I can imagine.
That's right. It's a bad interview. I
guarantee
we did
the interview, never aired it, I think.
Same thing with Rosie O'Donnell. You think on TV she's hot, but in person?
No.
Oh,
really?
Man, yeah.
I don't see that
happening. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't mean Rosie O'Donnell. No. No. I meant Jen Reno.
Yes.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of movies, Kevin, it's been a while since you've been as excited about a new film as you are about the one that opens up today.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. Rambo.
Live for nothing or die for something.
It's been 20 years since Rambo 3 came out in 1988, but the new one hits big screens today, and the star of the show, Sylvester Stallone, on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Sly.
Yeah, Kevin Bean, how you doing?
Where are you? It sounds like you're at the zoo or something.
I'm in the jungle!
What?
I'm in the jungle looking at my life! Sly, what am I doing with my life? I killed so many people.
Right.
Okay,
I'm
but you're
to lose my humanity.
Yeah.
Right, but you're an actor.
I find myself again.
Right, but you're an actor.
Who am I going to be?
You're not really Rambo.
Live for nothing or die for something.
Sounds like you could have worked a little harder on that one. Live for nothing or die for something.
I'm going to punch your head
off. I'm just saying it sounds like
I'm
that.
I'm going to hit you in the head. It's going to come right off your body.
You can help us with that question.
I can do that.
It looks like you punched.
I can do it!
Did you punch a guy's head right off?
No, I cut it off.
Oh, damn it.
Huh. Now, Sylvester Stallone, I got to ask what's going on with you because you, of course, created two of the most iconic film characters of all time with John Rambo and, of course, with Rocky Balboa. But now you're out, right? You've brought both of them back in the last couple of years. So what are you going to do after this?
Rhinestone 2. Me and Dolly Parton revisiting the characters we created 20 years ago.
Yeah, those of you who don't recognize that.
I'm a country western singing cab driver.
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Then Over the Top 2.
Yeah,
that's
over
your
the
arm
top.
Wrestling movie.
I play a professional, semi-professional arm wrestler trucker.
Right.
Okay.
Who wears my hat backwards and arm wrestles for my kid.
Yeah.
All right. I'll look forward to that. Let's talk about the Rambo. So you're retired. Your character is retired. You're living in Thailand. You're making a living catching snakes or something. And
that's
then you
right.
get drawn into a Burmese civil war. Is that what happens?
Yeah. I'm living a peaceful life in the mountains. They come and get me.
bedroom, First Blood.
I thought that the...
You want to fight the fight? I'll fight the big fight. What, Mickey, I'm no good anymore?
That's Rocky.
Legs are going.
That's Rocky. That's not Rambo.
Wolfgar! Take my hand. Don't fall off the cliff.
Yeah, Cliffhanger was a bad movie, too. What happens, Rambo? I'm not clear. What happens when you're pushed?
You can call me Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester, what happens when you're pushed?
You fall down.
Oh, for God's sake.
I don't know. What happens when you're pushed?
Kill him as easy as
push
die.
Back?
Yeah.
You get personally offended?
Do heroes die?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't sure. just reload? That's what we heard.
Oh, I see what you got.
Yes!
Oh, I see.
Hell.
Trying to get me to say things from the movie. That's very funny.
What if you don't have a gun? Then what?
Then you buy one.
Sylvester.
Mr. Stallone, Mr. Stallone, what's Burma like?
Burma's, it's all right.
No, it isn't.
Nice vacation spot.
No, it's a war zone.
Oh, yeah.
What is wrong with you?
It's hell on earth.
Oh, it's hell on earth, yeah.
Do you not remember anything?
Hold on a second.
Whoa, what's that? Hello?
I saw a spider.
Wow. That seems like a lot of heat for
you
a spider.
You weren't there. I come back, they spit on me, call me the baby killer. You're not a ghost spider.
I do know how to kill a spider. Usually a shoe works.
Oh.
That's all.
My bad.
Mr. Stallone, stepping aside from Rambo for just a second, I noticed that you were in the news yesterday because you've interjected your opinion into the upcoming presidential race, and you've made your endorsement on your candidate. You want to talk about that at all?
Yeah. I'm putting my political clout behind Senator John McCain.
John McCain. Now, is that because he, like you, is a POW?
That's right. He was in the Hanoi Hilton. He lived it. He came back to call him what? Baby killer? Spit on him? Thank you, First Blood.
You sound very confused, Lon.
I like Mitt Romney's hair, though, too.
Do you?
Yeah. And
Whoa.
What was that? What was that?
Mailman.
Why are you shooting at him?
He brings bills. I don't like bills. You know, when someone bills you.
Yeah.
Killing's as easy as dying.
I don't think that's the...
What?
I don't think that's how it works.
Hey,
right, which...
Maybe time to retire.
Which person caused the other one to bleed first?
I didn't even follow that.
You know, I'm a little punchy, I think, but I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Don't shoot. Sylvester. What happened? What was that?
Trying to kill this bit. It won't die.
By now, if you care about it, you have seen the awesome Tom Cruise talking about Scientology clips that are all over the internet and the TV. Well, Jerry O'Connell, the actor, has taken his life into his own hands and has done a spoof of it that you're not going to believe he did it. B, you're not going to believe he's still alive. So we'll have highlights of that for you coming up in about 10 minutes or so on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, we got a little bit of business, I think, to take care of here that we're going to actually enjoy.
K-Rock's World Tour 2008, destination number 3 is Jack Johnson in Australia.
That would be the coolest, wouldn't it?
It would be the coolest. And if I know K-Rock, man, you'll fly all the way to Australia, you'll be on the ground about 10 hours and fly home.
Hello?
What ring back was that?
USC
song. Fight song. That's what I
thought. Oh, there you go. Okay. Hey, who is this answering the phone?
This is Nick.
Nick, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling. We're on the air at K-Rock Radio. How are you this morning?
Good. How you doing?
Wait a minute. You're the dude that qualified a half hour ago.
Yeah.
What the?
Oh, my God!
Last hour, you won tickets to go to Coachella the weekend of April 25th?
Yeah, about 7 o'clock this morning.
And then we told you, I'm sure the King of Mexico took your call, told you that you were qualified for the grand prize drawing for a trip to Australia that we were doing this morning?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, you won it.
No way.
You're going to see Jack Johnson in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah!
Airfare for two, hotel, tickets to the show.
Nice.
Yeah, who knew I was going to wake up in an hour when Coachella and Australia tickets.
You won two different prizes within a half hour. That's bizarre.
Dude, be sure to keep answering your phone, because at the rate you're going, in 1 hour, Pam Anderson is going to call you and want to bang you.
Yeah, that's good. I'm waiting for the call.
Wow. This is odd. This has happened before, too, and it always seems strikes us as weird.
Like three times.
But if it's random, I mean, the person who wins last should have as much chance to win as the person who wins at any other time throughout the week. But, dude, what a Friday you're having. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, this is great. I'm not even going to work today. I'm going home. I'm done.
It makes sense. Don't go home. Go to Vegas the way you're going, dude.
Nick, how do you say your last name? Logoteta?
Yeah, Logoteta.
From Brea, congratulations. Call us back after you go to Australia to see Jack Johnson and tell us how it was.
I absolutely will. I appreciate it, guys.
Fantastic. Hold on for your details, okay?
Lisa May.
Lisa May, you're going to be so excited right now.
Yes.
Because we're going to talk about a guy who's on the TV show Carpoolers.
Yes.
Jerry
My life
O'Connell,
is perfect.
Who is probably, I don't know, for me, he's probably still best known as that guy in Jerry Maguire, sure. The guy who wasn't Tom Cruise in Jerry Maguire, but I guess he was on Crossing Jordan for 5 or 6 years. I mean, everybody would recognize his face
and
if they saw him.
And Sliders. He was on
and
Sliders.
Of course, he was the Sliders dude, yeah. He is really taking his life into his hands, though, because he parodied a video that's been going around that I guess was recorded a couple of years ago. It's Tom Cruise being interviewed about Scientology. Hopefully, you've seen it by now. If you haven't, I think we do have a link to it from the Kevin and Bean page of the KRock.com website.
We have a link to that, and we have a link to the Jerry O'Connell video right below it, so they can see both.
And I think we have a little bit of Tom Cruise and then a little bit of Jerry O'Connell and what he's doing. And the reason I say he's taking his life in his own hands is because he basically is making fun of Scientology here. And I think you know that's the shortcut to –
to death.
To death, yeah. Basically, that's what's going to happen here.
Shortcut to death, by the way, opening Coachella.
Yeah, they're very good.
Here's Tom Cruise and talking about why he can't go on vacation.
I'd like to go on vacation and go and romp and play and just romp. Do that. You know what I mean?
Nope.
I mean, that's what I want it to be, okay? That's how I would, you know, there's times I'd like to do that, but... but I can't, because I know.
He knows.
What's amazing is that's not the parody. That's the real tape. I mean, like, you look at that and go, how do you make anything sound crazier than that?
And then Jerry O'Connell comes up with this.
I wish I could go on vacation. I wish I could just go and romp like everyone else. But I can't right now, because I... broke.
So then Tom Cruise talks about KSW. What is that? I forget. Some code.
Keep Scientology working.
Keep Scientology working. Right.
So for me, it really is KSW, and it's just like...
Okay, so that's Tom Cruise, and then Jerry O'Connell.
For me, it's all about KFC. It's just good chicken. PYT, pretty young thing. WAYATW. Why are you acting this way?
When he does the laugh, you have to watch it. It is so exactly like Tom Cruise.
Oh, and crazy face and clapping his hands.
Tom Cruise talks about when you see an accident as a Scientologist, what you have to do.
Being a Scientologist, when you drive past an accident, it's not like anyone else. As you drive past, you know you have to do something about it, because you know you're the only one that can really help.
Okay.
Jerry couldn't anyone with a AAA card help, though, really?
Nope. Not according to Tom Cruise. Here's Jerry O'Connell.
When you drive past an accident and you see it, don't do anything, because you don't want to be involved with insurance and any sort of litigation.
Good advice.
So then, Tom, you remember the famous part where he says people are coming to us for answers, and if you don't have them...
It is the time now. Now is the time, okay? It is being a Scientologist, people are turning to you, so you better know it.
Sure.
You better know it. And if you don't...
I'll kill you.
You know, go and learn it.
Right. That's right. That's right. And then Jerry O'Connell.
Now is the time to help the Writers Guild of America. Now is the time. And if you don't know how to help them, then learn how to help them.
Why is he doing this?
Why is he painting
a giant target on his back? Why?
I don't know. I mean, obviously he thinks he's crazy, but... I mean,
you saw what the Scientologists did to President Kennedy and Martin Luther King and some of the other figures through our history.
I'm not sure that we know that was a fact, but there is another group on the internet now called Anonymous. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would want to be a member of their group either.
Really? What do they got going on?
They are directly taking on the Church of Scientology. This is Anonymous from YouTube.
Hello, leaders of Scientology. We are Anonymous. Over the years, we have been watching you, your campaigns of misinformation, your suppression of dissent, your litigious nature. All of these things have caught our eye. With the leakage of your latest propaganda video into mainstream circulation, the extent of your malign influence over those who have come to trust you as leaders has been made clear to us. Anonymous has therefore decided that your organization should be destroyed. For the good of your followers, for the good of mankind and for our own enjoyment, we shall proceed to expel you from the internet and systematically dismantle the Church of Scientology in its present form. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us.
Okay. All right, then.
I think we're in the middle of a war.
That's one kid in his basement with a voice changer. That's all that is.
Probably. Maybe. Probably. So we sent our assistant producer, Alex, to try and track down Anonymous. Tell us the email that you got back.
Dude,
Alex, this is awesome.
I'm in love. I'm in love with Anonymous.
Yeah.
I got this email last night about 9:30. You must understand something. Anonymous is not one person or a small group of people. As of right now, we are over 900 people dedicated in this effort. I have been chosen to speak to you in order to better further direct your contact to us. If you listen to your voicemail, I have currently left two identical phone numbers on two separate messages. You can reach me on that number, and I will from there further direct you on how to contact the current raid leaders, if you can call it that. We will have a massive you will have a massive audience in us. Be aware we are giving you exclusive rights to publish since you are the first to try and contact us. Anonymous.
Wow.
I love them.
Okay, now.
I am on board. I love them so much.
Is that some kind of a cool, like, group of people, or is it Roland in his basement?
It's either the dude from LA Jedi Knights who wouldn't talk to us.
Right.
Or it's this awesome group of over 900 people who are ready to showcase the fraud that is Scientology, that it's a cult, not a church.
Why leave the same phone number on two separate messages? How is that an improvement over leaving one?
I listened to them. He sounded like a little nervous because they obviously don't reach out and talk to people and they don't want to get screwed over.
They're going to put a sock on a sign and you have to. There's going to be a drop underneath there and there's going to be a phone number you can call. These it's a cell phone that's a throwaway phone. They just got it.
These are people who obviously know Scientology and know if they're caught, they're going to probably die and get thrown into some boat in the harbor of Long Beach.
Dude.
Some Scientologist gulag.
I know.
Wow.
So for those of you who were caught surprised by Heath Ledger in your office death pool, you want to be advised, Jerry O'Connell should be on your new list and assistant producer Alex as well.
It's coming up just after the top of the hour. Brock Lesnar from the UFC. He spent is this correct? He spent 19 seconds in the round in the ring so far
in MMA. I think 19 seconds.
Yeah. He fought Dynamite last time and just pummeled a guy. He's finished him.
Fighting next weekend, UFC 81. So we're going to talk to him coming up.
And Kevin has been saying off air all day long that he could take him.
I know.
He's a pussy.
Kevin called him Brock,
a pussy.
Kevin called him Brock Lesbo. I know. Watch it. Watch it.
Seriously.
Weak ass.
We'll be sure to bring that up. Anyway, 7:56 on the Kevin DeBeat Show. By the way, congratulations. We did a grand prize drawing about a half an hour ago or so to give away that trip to Australia that you've been hearing about all week long. Destination number 3 of the K-Rock World Tour 2008. And the winner was...
Nick Logatetta from Brea. He qualified this morning at about 6:45 and then won at 7:25. Yeah, random drawing.
Unbelievable.
Mobbed up.
Pretty weird.
Lucky dude. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Mobbed up. It's rigged.
It is?
Nick Logatetta. Yeah, forget about it. Yeah. I think Nick won both prizes. You know what I'm saying? But things can happen. Bad things can happen.
King of Mexico takes those and randomly shuffles them up. You think they got to him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad.
There's a hit out on him. I don't ask much of the K-Rec listenership. You know I'm here just to serve. But every once in a while I ask you to do me a favor, and this is one of those particular times. During the course of your day, whether you're at work or school or just hanging out with your family or friends, if someone should say to you, I like the rain, just kick them right in the shin for me, will you? Just wind up and give them a good crack right in the shin. And should they follow it up with, and you know we need it,
yep,
then just ball up your fist and just punch him right in the face.
Well, Ralph, I'll give you the opportunity to do that with Dave the King of Mexico, who every day tells me how
I
much
he loves it.
All right.
He loves it. And we need it, he told me.
Yep. That's Dave.
You know we
are
need
you,
it.
Are you
really?
Over it,
do we?
Ralph?
Do we need water? Do we, as a species, really need water? Thanks
well, yes,
for the flash.
Exactly.
Thanks, Paul Moyer, for the news bulletin. We need water. Yeah. Bite me.
This is enough rain but for me, too.
I like the rain. Oh, but I like it.
Yeah.
I like the rain, and you know we need it. Those two sentences I never need to hear again, ever.
I understand your frustration.
Shut up, you know.
Isn't it better to have a week of this than to hear about the stupid drought for 5 months next summer?
Probably for the next 5 months, but not right now, no. Now sucks.
Okay. Yeah, look, it's going to be what it is. No one needs to comment it, especially the, but I like the rain. And you know we need it. Headbutt.
They say, you know, we need it as if that's going to turn you.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't realize we needed it.
I'm happy then.
In that case, who would have thought we need water? That's a wacky concept. People. I hate people.
At least it's,
oh, my God, it's raining!
At least it's supposed to clear up late Monday, Tuesday, maybe.
Look, if I wanted weather, I never would have left Philadelphia.
Exactly.
We had plenty of it back there. Rain, sleet, snow, you named it. I came to Southern California for sunshine in 70. That's why I'm here.
So you get
it right.
That most.
It's 360 days a year.
Not enough. I bet she's a we need it.
Oh, fully.
Do we need it?
Do we need it, Lisa?
Lisa?
Of course
do you like
we the weather? Need it. Why
do you like
are you
the
bitching
rain?
So much? It's just rain.
Do you like that? Why are you bitching so much?
You're such a baby. It's just wet.
Oh, that's what she said.
Remember when you used to be able to get wet? Good times. Hey, I want to give a thank you to Femme Fatale's magazine.
Oh.
Yes.
One of my favorite magazines. This is the brand new,
what is
February issue. And it is, Femme Fatales is a magazine that's basically smoking hot chicks, but in the world of sort of sci-fi and horror movies and that kind of
she's
stuff.
She's in a sci-fi or horror movie?
Yeah.
Is she?
Who is that?
She's,
wow.
Hot. She's a Femme Fatale.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me find it right here. Here, did a big double page spread on the Miss Double December contest. How
no,
about
no
that?
Kidding.
We had yeah, it's
wow.
A whole bunch of series of photos of the lovely
photos.
Cassidy, who's our winner, and the entire event.
How about that?
There's Lisa May and Bean and Kevin and everybody else. Big double page spread. Big photo montage of our little event there, which
how
I thought
about
was pretty
that?
Cool.
Did Random Drunk Chick make it?
I don't know if Random Drunk Chick's in here or not. I haven't really been able to get past Cassidy, quite frankly, in the photographs.
Yes.
So I'll start looking at other people soon. But there's Bean's voluminous hair. I can see that.
Yeah,
and,
that's bad.
I can see Petros all just kicking back on. So if you see it on newsstands, you get it on newsstands. Femme Fatale's
Femme
magazine
Fatale.
Is called February Issue. You can check it out. So it's a good time.
By the way, we have not spent nearly enough time with Cassidy in 2008 during her. We haven't really seen her since Acoustic Christmas.
Mm-mm.
Let's manufacture some event that will force her to interact with us.
Well, we've got some events coming up, I think.
We've got singles parties coming up. Yeah.
Okay,
so
good.
I'm sure we'll see her soon.
We'll make that happen.
Ah, Heath Ledger. We hardly knew ye. Apparently so did Diana Wolstein.
Who's that?
She was the masseuse who stumbled upon Heath's body. And she might be in trouble. New York Daily News says that she never applied for a license to be a licensed masseuse in New York State.
Hmm.
And the thing about that is, in order to get a license, you have to prove that you have received CPR training, which people are speculating now, depending on what state she found Heath in, she might have been able to save his life had she had that
it
training.
It was New York.
No, not the state. The state, the condition.
Oh.
She found him in.
Right.
Also, interestingly enough, when Diane found him, she called Mary-Kate Olsen first.
Well, I mean, that's who I go to first when I'm in trouble.
Sure. Because there must have been an episode of Full House or something where somebody OD'd someplace. She must have some sort of experience.
Mary-Kate,
that, right?
What should I do?
Buy him a purse?
That's weird.
Well, she knew Heath and Mary-Kate apparently were friends with benefits, according to the inside story now.
Really?
People,
oh, really?
People Magazine says they were...
Really?
They were buddies.
Okay.
Yeah.
And apparently this Diane Newkate called her, Mary-Kate rather, called her up and said, what should I do? Mary-Kate responded, I'm sending my private security there. Moments later, when she found out that Heath was cold to the touch, she called back and said, I think he may be dead. I'm calling 911.
Hmm.
To which Mary-Kate said, I don't know the number for 911. So there was a bit of a delay there.
There's no better time to call 911 than after somebody's already dead, I'll tell you that.
Look, you don't know.
You don't know.
In that situation,
well,
I
that's why
know.
You call them first. That's why you call them before you call Mary-Kate, just
right,
in case they're still alive.
Okay, Tom Cruise. I don't know about rescue
right
saving lives
right?
Like you do.
Am I right, though? Don't you call 911 first?
Course.
Before Mary-Kate, though? I mean,
before Mary-Kate.
That's
just
questionable.
Just in case he's alive, yes.
Depends.
I don't know. I'm wearing a brace right now, so what would Mary-Kate Olsen do?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
National Enquirer says, as they follow the Dancing with the Stars tour around the country, that Joey Lawrence is the biggest diva.
Really? He's the most trouble?
Yep. Oh. Magazine reports he demands a private tour bus, gets his own tour bus, a tanning bed, a traveling tanning bed.
What?
And an assistant that's in charge of dirty diapers for his baby when the baby travels with him.
Oh, that sounds unnecessary.
Story goes on to say that Cheryl Burke is the most cooperative. No trouble at all from Cheryl Burke.
Who's that? Is she?
I don't even know who she is.
She's the smoking hot brunette with the short sort of
She's hot.
She was the champ for like two seasons.
Oh, she's one of the dancers.
She's one of the pro dancers. She was with Emmett Smith, I believe. And I forget who else she won with. But.
Isn't Joey Lawrence just lucky to have a job?
What? Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
What's his appeal?
Whoa.
Good question.
David Spade is now saying he doesn't want anything to do with the Playboy playmate that he knocked up.
Oh, good.
Sweet.
Good.
According to Star Magazine, Gillian Grace and David talked about having the baby together and raising it, but now she claims he apparently wants nothing to do with her or the pregnancy.
Sweet.
Yeah. Just going to write a check. Good man. And Suge Knight is on the LAPD's radar again.
Uh-oh. Again?
The Los Angeles Times says that the police think Suge is part of a Compton street gang known as Mob Piru.
Mob Piru.
Yeah.
P-I-R-U.
Piru?
Oh, Piru.
Pimps in red uniforms.
Ah.
Well, thank you.
How did Are
you
we a not member? Know that?
Oh, I'm a blood.
Are you a member? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Thank you, Dark Gable. apparently, they've been terrorizing Compton with drug deals, shakedowns, shootings. But Suge is saying the police only put his name on their list of 200 suspected gang members as a publicity stunt. LAPD is desperate for some pub.
Sure.
Ever since they lost their publicist.
It does strike me, it does strike you to your core as wrong when you hear Suge Knight and Trouble Together. It just doesn't make sense.
He says it's strictly for publicity.
Sure.
And he may be right, because I just saw some photographs of the LAPD buying a pregnancy test at Rite Aid, and I think that was a setup, too. I think that was completely set up.
I think that was them.
It was the entire force just buying pregnancy tests. Hmm. It was very odd. Suge says he's a 42-year-old businessman with no ties to any gang.
Right.
He's an equal opportunity thug. He doesn't have any ties. He's a businessman.
Sure.
Today's celebrity
burn. The answer is false.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sorry.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Alicia Keys. Remember her?
Sure. Tissue, tissue, ah-ah.
Do we remember her? She's the biggest star in the world. Well, we remember her.
Well, you guys sat down with her and had a conversation
with
her.
We did,
That's why I was talking to you personally.
I remember that, yeah.
I don't think we recorded it, but we were just wanted her to spend some time there.
Speaking of the mic.
Bean did that. It was really disconcerting.
Oh, we did ask
a lot of questions.
What's a mini?
It was like a bug. It was like a CIA bug.
It was micro cameras.
Barely tell it's there.
It was a do you like pasta type interview, though. I mean, it really was not good.
Well, we had nothing to say, and we weren't recording, but, you know, what would you do if you're in that case, and they say, do you want to talk to her? You go, yes.
Did you ask her about the state of the dollar, Bean?
Probably.
I might have, but she was lovely. I
say, it couldn't have been your worst interview unless that question came up. Then, that's when we knew it had really been horrible.
Yeah.
Why is the dollar struggling so in the world market?
Ask a smoking hot actress about the dollar.
Saying that wasn't good?
No. Mm.
Kevin says he's going to make Brock Lesnar his bitch, and we're going to talk to him coming up next after the news.
Well, I want to hear that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 13 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You're good.
Mini stroke. Another mini stroke.
All right. Let me hear the big intro about our next guest.
What if one of the world's greatest wrestlers stepped out of the ring and into the octagon?
If Brock Lesnar could back up all the things that he's saying, might become the biggest star in mixed martial arts.
Wrestling superstar Brock Lesnar breaks into the UFC. Against former heavyweight champion Frank Mir. This is as real as it gets. UFC 81, Breaking Point. Live Saturday, February 2nd from the Mandalay Bay Event Center. Only on pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's going to be quite the night at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster, or I assume it's probably sold out. Your best bet is to call your local service provider and see the fight starting at around 7 o'clock on that night. It's the night before the Super Bowl, by the way, and we're very excited to welcome to the program for the first time Mr. Brock Lesnar himself on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Morning, Brock. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys? Pretty good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet, man. This is very exciting. You're a guy that a lot of UFC fans have been hoping for the longest time would be involved in something like this. And you know, people are people are psyched to see you, dude.
Well, I'm excited to be here. You know, it's finally, it's about to happen. So we're about to, you know, make or break this career of mine.
Do you find that people kind of knew you from WWE and figured, you know, maybe you didn't have what it takes to back it up, even though you're, you know, a superstar in college wrestling?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people that, that, you know, are on the Brock Lesnar bandwagon. There's a lot of people that aren't, you know. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of doubters out there, and there's a lot of fans. So, you know, really my concern is I just want to go out and win this fight and you know, have a solid career with the UFC.
How old a guy are you now, Brock?
I just turned 30. So, yeah, it's, you know, I feel great, you know. But when I actually turned 30, I was very depressed. I was like, you know, because when I was like 20, and I had a couple of buddies that were like 30 at the time, and I was like, man, you guys are old. Now I'm actually 30.
With the life that you've had ever since you were a junior high school or something, when you were wrestling and you kept going through college and all these years with the WWF and then E, your body must feel some days like you're twice that.
Some days I do, you know, but I've taken really good care of myself, you know, as far as you know, masseuse and chiropractic and all that good stuff, and you know, got the sleep number bed and the whole work, you know. But I wake up. Some mornings are harder than others, but now that I'm, you know, it's easier too when I'm in, you know, I'm in really good shape right now, and I wake up feeling like I was about 18 years old, you know. I feel really good.
Now, have you had more fights than that 19 seconds, or is that the only fight you've had in the MMA?
That's my first one. This will be my second fight. So, yeah, I taking the leap of faith here and going to see what happens. I've been training a solid 2 years for this, you know, and I don't have a job. So, I mean, I spend a lot of time learning the craft of, you know, jiu-jitsu and boxing and kickboxing, and so, you know, it's been a solid 2 years worth of training.
We could actually take some calls if anybody has questions for Brock Lesnar. 1-800-520-1067. The best question, we'll give him a pair of tickets. Ooh. For Mandalay Bay for next Saturday night.
That's dude, awesome.
Wow. How about that?
Now, I know Psycho Mike, who's our resident bodybuilder and gym rat, has just stepped up to the mic, and he's been all day long just chomping at the bit to get a question in for you, Brock. Mike, go ahead.
I do love Mr. Lesnar. As Kevin alluded to earlier, before you entered the world of sports entertainment, you were actually a dominant collegiate wrestler. I was just curious why you believe wrestling seems to be a factor in all the successful MMA fighters. I mean, most of the top guys seem to have a background in wrestling. What is it about wrestling that seems so applicable to the MMA? Is it takedown defense?
Well, I think if you have any wrestling experience, a wrestler is used to controlling another person and you know, body positioning and you know, half of the game in mixed martial arts is getting your opponent on the ground and being able to control him while you're on the ground. So having a good takedown and good takedown defense is crucial in this sport. So I think that as a wrestler, you have a lot more experience learning those. If you have the experience in it, you've learned it a long time ago when you first start wrestling. You know, that's the very first thing that they teach you is how to take another person down and how to defend it. So I think it's huge in the fight game.
Does it help to be the size of a mountain?
Sometimes it does.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Can your overwhelming size and strength, though, was it actually a curse at first, though? Did it have any side effects when you entered into the MMA game?
Well, no, I guess I'm lighter now. You know, when I first started, I was about 290, and so I've trimmed down a lot. You know, right now I'm walking around anywhere between 265 and 270. And
dear God.
And so I mean, it's I feel a lot better at this weight. Maybe, you know, so It helps. It definitely helps. You know, I'll come to the weigh-ins probably right at 265, and you know, on fight night, I'm sure I'll be back up to hopefully 270, 275.
This is Brock Lesnar we're talking to. He's on the phone talking about UFC 81 Breaking Point, which is going to be Groundhog Day, Saturday, February the 2nd at the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas. You can, of course, watch that on the pay-per-view. Brock, two body questions for you, and I don't mean either one of them in a gay way, but you're 265, 270 pounds. What is the percentage of body fat? Because I look at pictures of you, and I think it's got to be like 4% or something.
You know, I haven't really checked my body fat in a long time, but, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and I would say I'm anywhere between 6 and 10%.
Okay. And the other question I have is, how do you – I mean, you have to get your shirts custom made. Like, what is your neck size?
Well, I believe my neck is like 23 1/4 or something.
23 1/4. Bean, is that good for you to date? Do you want to date him, or what's happening here?
I can't even imagine what that's like, though, with a 23-inch neck. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it's good and it's bad.
Hey, keep your head on, man. That's all that matters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I got to carry this big head around, too, you know, so I need some stability.
Let's take a call. Paula in Bellflower. Good morning.
Hello?
Hi there. You're on with Brock.
Hey, I just have a question for you. I've seen the previews for the fight, and if you see Frank Mir broke someone's forearm, are you a little nervous going up against Frank Mir?
No, not at all. You know, Frank broke Tim Sylvia's arm because Tim Sylvia didn't know how to defend the arm bar, so I'm not worried about that at all.
All right.
Have you, in all the years with all of your various incarnations of sports that you've been associated with, Brock, have you ever been badly hurt in a match?
You know what? Probably the worst injuries I've ever had is I've suffered as an amateur wrestler where I tore my knee up, and as a professional wrestler, you know, besides a couple of concussions here and there, I wrestled with three broken ribs for
good
about
times.
8 months.
Dude.
Yeah, so other than that, nothing real crazy, you know. I jumped off the top rope at WrestleMania and landed on my head.
Oh, good.
But other than that, doing something I shouldn't have been doing.
Let's take a call from Eddie in Burbank. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. You're on with Brock.
The question is I have for you, as far as flexibility goes, you said you were 290, you're about 275 now. You're a bigger guy, you have a lot of muscle. How do you think the flexibility factor is going to come in if you're going to get someone about 200, 210, where the muscles aren't getting away in them?
Well, I mean, I'm not a body. I mean, from the very beginning, as a young athlete, I started training and knew that I wanted to put on some muscle mass, but I knew one other thing, that I had to be flexible. So, you know, I can still I'm a very flexible 275-pound guy. I mean,
those are opposing things. It's not possible.
Well, you know, so I mean, you know, I can damn near do the splits, and you know, I mean, so.
Wow.
It hasn't been a concern of mine, you know. I can still probably, I haven't attempted it, but I can still do a standing backflip. You know, I'm pretty sure that I can.
Wow. Wow, you should be on that Fox show so you think you can dance, man. That's what I want to see. How far past, I mean, was any of this ever even in your radar? Could you ever even have imagined what your life would end up being when you were wrestling back in Webster, South Dakota? I mean, you probably didn't even see a career in what you were doing at that time. You probably just did it because you loved it, right?
That's it, you know. I mean, I grew up on the farm, and my dad was a farmer, and I just kept wrestling. I knew that didn't want to, you know, I looked around at some people that were staying in Webster, and that was fine for them, but just it wasn't good enough for me. So I wanted to keep wrestling you know, pursue college. And I really had no idea. You know, I've been one of those guys where, you know, I haven't really feared a lot of things. You know, I haven't been scared of failure. And so I just attempted things if it worked out, it worked out, and if it didn't, it didn't.
My partner Bean has been saying all morning that he could take you. Do you get that a lot?
that's what I say, all right.
That's why I stay home a lot, you know,
okay.
Because every time I go out, everybody wants to challenge me.
Well, it's UFC 81 Breaking Point. It's next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, at the Mandalay Bay Event Center. I think I'd give Eddie the ticket. You guys agree? Because he seemed to know what he was talking about.
Yeah, sure. Sure, mm-hmm. No problem. Eddie is going to be there at the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas. Of course, the rest of us will just have to get it on the pay-per-view. You can call your local service provider. It starts around 7 o'clock on that night. It's a full night of great, great MMA action. Brock, it's awesome to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time, man. I hope you'll come back and spend some more time with us when you can.
I will. Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye. Friday morning, that means Ralph is here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Go see Rambo.
Is that it?
That's all I got.
Okay.
Thanks for coming
in.
It's
a rough weekend, people.
Really? Again?
Look, here's the thing. On a rainy, crappy January weekend,
right,
there's nothing you want to do more than just crawl into a nice, safe, warm, dry movie theater and escape the weather for a couple hours.
Sure. So how do we do that? Where do we go? What do we watch?
Rambo.
A lot of people probably will have heard about movies nominated for Oscars early in the week that they have not yet seen. This would be a good opportunity to kind of catch up with those.
Go see that Feel Good, There Will Be Blood.
That'll, good times.
That'll make
you laugh.
Yeah, it'll make you feel happy when you come out in the stormy weather, the gray clouds. You go, oh, you know what? I don't care. It's the sun is shining in my heart.
No Country for Old Men. Very,
thing.
Very sunshiny.
Same
true
thing.
About that. Yeah.
True that. Or you can go see How She Move.
Yes.
Oh, Dave is so about this movie.
Oh, I want to go see How She Move.
Listen, just grammar apart from the title.
Yeah.
You know what this thing's going to be.
A craptastic experience.
How many more step dancing movies do we really need?
There's a lot still in the pike.
I know.
Still coming down.
We got sequels of sequels coming out. And
Step Up 2, I think.
But
that's
come,
right.
But really, how many do we need? Isn't it the same movie over and over again?
Of course.
Here's
the
story of Raya, a gifted student who is forced to leave her private school. But when that happens, it rekindles her unlikely passion for the competitive world of stepping. Come on! Another high-end rich girl who rekindles her love for stepping.
Happens all the time.
Bet she runs into some brother who teaches her how she moves.
Bet she does.
I wanted to tell you mean, how she moves. Like, wow! How She Move, or
it's going to be good.
How She Move. I don't know what the title means.
It's going to be the best.
It's not going to be the best.
I'm looking forward to it.
Here's a little scene from How She Move where Bishop,
yes,
is encouraging Raya, played by the newcomer Rutina Wesley.
No. Yes. Rutina.
Rutina
is her name.
Plays Raya. She is encouraged to keep dancing by Bishop,
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double-cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so, yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? You'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's
going
to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Where does he step? I'm confused.
That's Omar from Cucamonga Heat. That's not from the movie that Ralph is talking about, How She Moves.
Oh, that's this one.
So that's what you think step is, huh? Just a bunch of people with nothing better to do.
I never said that.
Ray, I'm just saying, you got a serious step. You know what I'm saying? A few weeks with me, it could be dangerous, yo.
Yeah.
Dangerous, yo.
That looks like the worst movie ever. I'm in.
Of course, when Raya gets into the competitive world of stepping, she has to face down her bully competitor, Michelle.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Who's in her face, and she gets all served and stuff, yo. Here's Raya facing down Michelle.
It's impressive, man. It's been like, what, 3 years and you still got that quick exit down?
Come on, it's just cool, right?
Is that your issue? You come back here to show us nothing, nowhere, people, something? Come show me a little something.
All right, you think your step is better than mine? Show me.
And it's on!
Oh, she so got served.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
You show me your step, yo. You're dangerous, This whole genre peaked with Bring It On, I'm sorry to say. It's been downhill ever since.
How dare you? This is good badness.
That's where Kevin will be, getting his step on.
It's like watching my childhood, is what it is.
Yeah, because I remember when you
were... A lot of step battles.
I remember you and the other brothers in the streets of Lily White, Arizona were stepping up a mad scene.
Where are you from?
how we do it in Puerto Rico, Cuba, wherever the hell they're coming from. Anyway, also you got Meet the Spartans.
Nope.
Finally,
what's
another
this?
Hilarious parody movie.
Yes, yes.
Where they take all today's popular hits and just, oh, they just parody the crap out of these movies.
Yes, they do.
Here's the 300, basically, but then they run into Britney Spears, and then Spider-Man comes along, and Donald Trump goes, you're fired. And it's funny. Oh, it just doesn't get any funnier. At least Carmen Electra has another mortgage payment.
Oh, good.
Here's a series of hilarious moments from the new parody film, Meet the Spartans.
This is Sparta! Spartans! We about to stomp the yard. You got served.
Oh, boy.
Kevin's laughing his ass off, by the way, listening to the clip.
How dare you?
How dare you laugh at this lame-ass BS?
Looks good. Looks good. I'm going to go see it. Looks good.
Say it looks good.
It looks good.
You have to lower your standards for a movie like this. You go, you hope for a couple of punchlines that make you laugh. That's
it. It's too rainy outside. If my standards get that low, they'll drown. Then we got Untraceable. Things are looking up with Untraceable just a touch. This is Diane Lane, who stars in this film as an FBI technician who tracks down internet crime. And she runs across a serial killer who is as equally tech-savvy as she is, who's broadcasting his murders over the internet and encouraging people to watch along as he murders people via remote control.
Yeah.
Pretty creepy stuff. Here's a scene where two computer technicians are telling an FBI agent how their suspect is killing his victim.
He's carved the name of the website into the guy's chest. It looks like he's threatening to drain him.
Threatening to drain what? His blood? How's he going to do that? Those letters aren't any deeper than paper cuts.
No, it's not the cuts. It's the bleeding.
You see that box? We think it regulates the amount of fluid going into the victim.
I think those bags have some sort of anticoagulant in them.
So the more people visit the site, the more the drug is released, and the faster he bleeds.
That's right.
See?
So creepy.
That's bad.
Okay.
Okay.
The only problem with this movie, once again, and
there's no stepping?
I don't want to spoil it. Yeah, there's no stepping, first of all. Second of all. But if you watch the trailers closely, you know who the bad guy is.
Oh, you do? Already?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Which is kind of a bummer. I hate when that happens.
Oh, that sucks.
Too much. Too much information. But that's Untraceable. And then, of course, little thing I like to call Rambo.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you
call
it that?
Yeah.
Because that's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
Yay!
Here's the thing. Rambo is living a quiet, solitary life as a boat tour guide. Not a tour guide, but he's like a river master. He's catching
hooker.
Snakes. He's working as a blacksmith, pounding out metal.
Sure.
And along comes some...
A lot of those people in the jungles of Thailand.
Someone's got to make the machetes. So anyway, he is asked by a group of missionaries if he will take them upriver so they can help the people who are suffering in the Burmese Civil War. And those same said missionaries get themselves captured, and the head of their church, rejected by the U.S. government, asks Rambo and a team of mercenaries to rescue the missionaries.
Fantastic.
Initially, the mercenaries treat Rambo just like he's just the guy running the boat. They don't know.
They don't know
who John Rambo is.
Yeah.
But they learn pretty quickly when he kills about 100 people in 5 minutes. Here's a scene where the guy who hired Rambo is not so happy with his murder spree.
What did you do? We came here to help stop the killing. Who are you to tell?
Who are you?
Let him go!
You would have raped her 50 times and cut your f***ing heads off. Who are you? Who am you? Come back! Who are you?
It sounds like somebody's doing a parody movie of Rambo.
Who are you?
I don't even understand him.
Who are you?
It looks awesome.
I'm in.
He kills to rescue and they're still bitching.
Yep.
What does it take?
What do they want?
You would have raped her 50 times!
You hire Rambo, you get Rambo.
Who are you?
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to have to leave now. There might be a showing someplace of Rambo. I got to go. That's my pick for the week, obviously, because you know what? You got a choice in this life.
Yeah.
You can live for nothing or die for something.
Do we have to die?
You decide.
We have to die.
You decide. We'll rip you 50 times. Got to be asked. Who are you? Who are you?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
You know by now.
Oh my God,
Yeah.
There's a little bit of rain.
Why doesn't anyone tell me anything?
It's supposed to rain pretty much throughout the weekend. Maybe Monday late.
Yeah.
Clearing.
Yeah,
maybe.
But we need it, though. I mean, that's the important thing.
Channel 4 is spectacular.
Of course they are.
And here's why. Here's the recipe. You have to start with a cute little kid talking about the rain. Because none of us would know what to do if we didn't see a cute little kid talking about the rain.
The weather is all rainy, so the snow is so exciting.
I think it'd be more exciting if you could drive through it and go home, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's not on the news.
Yes, it was.
That's so not taking time away from news.
That was the Channel 11, Channel 4 News at 11. Of course. Oh. Of course. Are you kidding? And whoever the guy was, the reporter was out there, he had to contradict the kid. You know, he's like, you know what? I'd rather just leave it behind. Okay,
hey,
that's fine.
You're a stupid fetus. Go back home.
Here's Paul Moyer making some sense out of what's going on.
Mass that hit Long Beach especially hard. What's up with that?
What is up with that? That's a good question.
Does anyone have an answer? What's up with that?
That's on the news, by the way. So then they also have to have equal parts sending somebody to where it used to flood but isn't now. Right. That's part of the recipe.
Hi, Colleen. I'm here at the intersection of Tuxford Street and San Fernando Road. This area has historically been a real problem when you have a heavy rain. There is always flooding here, but apparently not anymore. A lot of work has been done here.
Okay. If it's me, I'm calling back and going, not flooding. Where do I go now?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, not a news story.
Do they get together at the end of the newscast and high-five again?
Yes.
Yeah, we nailed it. We really covered it.
Not yet. First, they have to squeeze in an interview where the person is completely ignoring the rain and not answering anything that has to do with it. These people are going to get, I don't know, ice cream or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yogurt. And they don't even mention the rain. They just say it's exciting. So she has to figure out an angle to work it into the rain coverage.
And in Southern California, when it rains, we have come to expect the unexpected. And on this day, the unexpected is the demand on frozen yogurt.
It's a special treat for us today. It is a favorite place for us to come.
Yes.
What does
that is useful information.
It's so crazy. It's cold and it's raining and you're getting frozen yogurt.
You're out of your mind.
Wow.
That's nutty.
What's up with that?
We're so lucky that the rest of the country's problems have been solved, that they have a couple of minutes per newscast to cover this.
We have Channel 4's Doug Kriegel, who we're a fan of because he sounds like he's about to die. Out on the scene. Doug, good morning.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How are you, sir?
I'm standing here on Ventura Boulevard at an intersection. On one side is an elementary school.
Right.
The other side, a frozen yogurt store.
Right.
I'm desperately hoping to find a small child who wants frozen yogurt in the rain.
Well, that would be the best.
As of yet, I have not seen any children, but I am lingering around the schoolyard. That has caused Chris Hansen to look at me on.
That is not accepted very well, I don't think.
No, they tend to think that I'm creepy.
Yeah.
I have no idea why.
I know that you've been in news for decades here in Southern California, but at some point, don't you get enough seniority where you don't have to be the guy they send out to stand in the rain every single time it's wet?
These are the important stories.
No.
How will Southern California know that it's raining unless I come out here?
You need to breathe a little more, Doug.
If I do, I keep inhaling water.
Oh.
So I'm trying my best not to.
What are you talking? Oh, you mean you're actually in the rain?
I am outside on Ventura Boulevard, as I mentioned earlier in the bit.
Right, no, I know, but I figured
it's raining out here.
Umbrella or something.
No, it's just me and the microphone.
Wow.
And a video crew.
Wow.
We are waist deep in water. There is a considerable flow coming off of Ventura, and I'm this is problematic.
Doug?
Quite
a bit of water.
Doug?
All right, we're having a little apparently the sewers are backing up.
Oh no.
Oh, that doesn't smell good at all.
Are you okay, Doug?
And I just now, and I'm fine. I'm sure it'll be okay.
Doug?
Well,
it sounds like you're underwater. Are you okay?
No, I like the rain. And after all, we do need it.
It's true. It is 8:58 now and time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Maybe good news on the horizon about the writer's strike.
Please, God, yes.
Apparently yesterday both sides said they are going back to the bargaining table. In fact, the writers are so serious about trying to move this strike to a speedy conclusion that they are willing to withdraw two previous demands they were making of the producers.
Hmm.
The Guild wanted to have reality and animation TV shows also be unionized,
but they're willing to forego that if it'll help move things along and get this whole thing settled. I think they're as fed up with it as we are. So
it does seem like their number one thing that they don't want to budge on is internet residuals.
Right. Download,
that's the thing they really
want
to deal with.
Right. The rest of it's just going to, you know. Oh, your writers on the anime show? Screw you.
Yeah, animated writers are going, hey, but
whatever. We got big fish to fry.
But what about...
I got kids to feed.
But...
What's up with that?
What's up with that indeed, Paul? Brittany Houston. What?
What?
I'm sorry?
What's up with that?
Whitney Houston apparently is making a comeback. They say she has cleaned her act up.
Yeah.
She is off the drugs. She's put some weight on.
She looks good.
And she's ready to tour and record again.
Is crack still whack?
Crack, however, is still whack.
Okay. All right.
And is she still awfully, awfully sweaty, though?
Oh, she's way sweaty. But less sweaty since she stopped the blow.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Sense.
Allegedly.
So apparently you look forward to some new music coming out from her this year, she says.
Houston, we have a problem.
She sure had an amazing voice at one point.
And was the biggest star in the world at one point.
Yeah.
Does she still have an audience? Would people still care if she releases a record?
I think if it's the right record, they would.
Who would play her?
Kiss FM would
Kiss,
play her.
You think?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's like, look, there was a time when
Magic,
Mariah Carey's
love songs,
career
whatever that is.
Was
Post?
Dead in the water, too. Yeah. And then she came out with the right record, and it was all, you know, it all happened for her again. I think Whitney's, she's not beyond being saved.
What's Britney's, up with that?
Britney Spears. Her career's on the upswing.
Oh, yeah.
That Blackout, nominated for 8 Grammys.
I don't think it was nominated for any.
It was nominated for any Grammys.
No, none.
But, however, she is speeding down Sunset Boulevard on the wrong side of the street at 100 miles an hour.
Rad.
When are they going to take away all her cars? It's just frightening.
Yeah, look, if you find out somebody's crazy and they've got multiple personalities, maybe the driver's license doesn't belong to all of the personalities.
Right.
Anyway, TMZ.com said that she was spotted screeching down Sunset Boulevard 100 miles per hour on the wrong side of the street.
But at least it wasn't raining, and that's good.
Then she stopped at Petco. Twice. Once to pick up some goodies for her dogs, and then had to come back because she realized she had forgotten her new assistant at the pet club.
How long do you think she waited before she called Brittany?
Hey, Ms. Spears, I know I'm a new employee, but I'm thinking, is it the abandoning thing? Is that part of the job?
Am I supposed to walk? Or? Yeah.
She does go through so much staff that it must be difficult for Brittany to know who's in, who's out that
way. Sure. She gets a lot of staff.
Oh, no!
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no!
You know what I'm saying?
No, you didn't.
You know what I'm
yes,
that's how she move.
Oh.
How come it sounds so much worse when Bean says it than
know.
When anyone else says it?
I don't know, but it does.
But what it, what it do as well?
Yeah.
What it do it sounds horrible. Sounds horrible. Sounds... What it do have you?
I think he's just he is the epitome of whiteness. He's just so white that he turns anything he touches sort of beige.
He's not black like you and I.
That's true.
I mean, we can pull
or
it off.
Me.
And Lisa.
Or Lisa. Thanks,
yeah.
We can all pull it off.
Lisa's the blackest of us all.
Absolutely. She is.
Have you ever heard her rap? You ever heard Lisa May rap? Look at Mike standing there.
I know.
He has no idea what's coming up.
Didn't see this coming.
He's reading
whistling.
A magazine. He's doing his nails.
He's reading.
There's no spark of recognition thinking that maybe I might be headed towards Lisa May rapping.
He's
maybe.
Reading Muscle and Fitness. He's got no time for you.
Yeah, he's, you know, getting his Brock Lesnar spank towel out.
They have a towel, do they?
Yeah, he's got fingerless gloves.
Brothers and sisters, men and trees, I got really crappy taste when it comes to TV. I like Brothers and Sisters, not Dazed and Confused. With taste like this, I must be abused.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now that's Grammy nominated.
Sorry, what did
you say?
Wow.
Sounds like a fire alarm.
Lukey,
Lukey. Lukey,
Lukey. Lisa, by the way, is opening for the Brock Lesnar spank towel at Coachella. So I look forward to both of those performances.
Did you catch, speaking of black, did you catch Barack Obama on Letterman last night?
No.
I didn't.
He is, he's funny. He's got a sense of humor.
He's
here's the thing I found
and
about.
Clean.
Do you think he wrote these or do you think Letterman's writer?
No. I'm sure Letterman's writer, but he did an admirable job of acquitting them.
Yeah.
I think that this year we've got the best crop of people sort of with a sense of humor running for the presidency. You don't see a lot of it. Clinton was on Letterman. She held her own. She seemed very personable and likable.
Okay.
John Edwards was on the other night. Dave messed up his hair. It was very funny.
You have to go through Letterman, don't you, pretty much?
You pretty much do.
Seems like.
Or Arsenio. Arsenio's still
well,
the biggest
sure.
one
He's
show.
He's number
think,
one.
Yeah. Anyway, Barack did the top 10 list of his campaign promises. It's very funny.
Yeah, Eric. Hey,
oh,
what's up,
on.
Man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take...
It's 9:03. Just play the goddamn clip.
Top 10 Barack Obama campaign promises. Here we go. Number 9.
I will double your tax money at the craps table.
Good idea.
8. Appoint Mitt Romney, Secretary of Looking Good.
Yes, sir. 5.
I'll rename the 10th month of the year Baracktober.
Baracktober. How about that?
Number three.
I'll find money in the budget to buy Letterman a decent hairpiece.
Thank you. Two.
Pronounce the word nuclear. Nuclear.
How about that?
And the number one Barack Obama campaign promise.
Three words. Vice President Oprah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, dear God, help us.
That's bad news.
He's one talented Negro.
Tomorrow, come on out and see us at Santa Anita Racetrack. It is in Arcadia, California, just east of Pasadena. You can get there off the 210.
Oh, those blacks.
Or the 10 freeway. It's going to be a blast. It's our microbrew festival. 60 different kinds of beers to taste. We've got 10 thoroughbred races running tomorrow at Santa Anita. The doors open at 10 o'clock. First race is at 11:45. It's only $5 to get in. You get a free towel.
That's cool.
Is it a Brock Lesnar Spanko?
I believe it is.
It's got a Target on it.
Lisa May's going to be there pounding some brews.
Lisa, when people come up to you, how do you want them to address you?
Hello, Poon.
All right. All right. Heard it there.
Okay, then.
I'll be there. Psycho Mike's going to be there. Lightning, of course, will be making people eat mud for a keychain.
By the way, just a heads up, keychain not going to be worth it.
That's right.
How long is Kevin banned from Santa Anita? Is
that
police?
I think it's been like two years now.
Why am I not allowed? It's like Pete Rose in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't think he's ever getting banned.
You killed that guy. Remember?
I can't hurt anyone with a towel.
But if you fill it with oranges and then beat them about the midsection with it, you could. Could injure their internal organs. Who else is going to be there? Alex will be there. Psycho Mike, as I mentioned. DJ Omar Khan on the ones and twos. It's going to be a blast. Come on out. It's only $5 to get in, and it promises to be a good time. We always have fun.
I've never known such blackness.
Today's celebrity birthday is only really one person. She outshines everyone else. She is Alicia Keys.
Talented. I love black people.
Beautiful. Charming. 27 years old today. Not the guitarist for Jars of Clay also celebrates.
No, I don't think that's the same league.
Not on the same level.
I want to start with that, but not end with it. No.
I have some Alicia Keys standing by. If you'd like to hear some, Ralph.
Sure. Oh, here we go.
Black people gonna sing.
Doesn't sound
new number one album
like her. Black people, they're gonna sing. They love to sing. Sing about the man, how he held them down. Made them all smoke crack. Black people love hacky sack.
See why that's number one.
Mm. Yeah. She is talented.
She's good.
I've never seen a black guy play hacky sack once, ever.
Ever.
It rhymes.
It does rhyme.
It does rhyme, but that's not true.
That's true.
It's just a lie.
It's true.
It's a lie. Big fat lie.
Shame on you.
Are we done?
See how they come at black people?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, so maybe you're going to go see How She Moved this weekend. Maybe you're going to go see Rambo this weekend. But you ought to also carve out some time for the greatest rock and roll band in the world with the first ever live-action digital 3D film. We're talking about U2 3D. You guys aren't going to believe this, but the director of the movie, Catherine Owens, is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is, I guess you need a band as big as U2 to get people excited about seeing a 3D movie, huh?
You sure do, and it is well worth seeing.
What kind of 3D is it? Because it seems like every time a 3D movie comes along, it's the same line, which is, this is better than anything else you've seen before.
Well, you know, this is the first ever live-action 3D film. So it's not animation, and it's not CG, and it's not motion capture. It's the real thing.
And how do you do, what kind of camera
work? Is it even better than the real thing?
Even better.
To quote you two. How do they do it? What kind of cameras? How did it work?
You know, it's new digital technology. And the new technology has allowed us to make this film as a live-action film. So, for example, before digital technology, you would have to, you know, have a 3-minute film reel, and it was a still camera, and you couldn't move around with the camera. Well, now you can, you know, run the camera as long as you want and do handheld.
And have you figured out a way to have us, the viewers, not have to wear those glasses?
Well, they're new glasses.
They're new glasses.
Yeah.
All right, then.
You know, band approved.
Well, okay. They say U2 on them so we can keep them?
Well, if you see it in the the real D digital system,
mm-hmm.
you can keep them. And
okay.
if you see them in the Dolby system, you have to return them.
I see. Okay.
Now, what are they? Do they look? Are we going to look like Bono as the Fly when we sit there watching the movie?
You're going to look pretty close.
Hopefully.
Oh, how about yeah. that? Catherine, you have been working with the band U2 for many, many years. Am I right about that?
Yes. Coming up to 20 years now.
20 wow. years. Mm-hmm. And you've been the person who's been responsible for a lot of the visual content of the you know, many stadium tours that we've been to over the years, the Zoo TV and the Pop Mart. I mean, you're the person who's kind of the point person to coordinate all that awesome video stuff that goes on. And then when it got to the point where the technology was available, you, I guess, then seemed like the logical choice to direct the film of a concert, right?
Yeah. You know, the producers, Triality Digital Systems, they really wanted it to be art-based and creatively driven.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we basically did an insider's job on the film and worked with all the people we've been working with over the last 20 years to make it.
You know, we've had some contact with the band over the years here at K-Rock, you know, just by virtue of this station. And, you know, we've been lucky enough to have the guys in the station, lucky enough to do live broadcasts with it. And they're so inspiring to be around just in small doses. Mm-hmm. Have you found that to be the case through 20 years, that these guys are that much fun to work with? Because it seems like they might be.
You know, it really is. It's like a joyride. Working with you two is like this long, extended joyride. They're very passionate, they're very committed, and I was saying to somebody recently, the strange thing for me is the longer we're working together, the more exciting it has become.
Hmm. Ralph was talking to us, he's our movie reviewer, he was asking if, you know, like The Edge takes his guitar and reaches it out over the crowd and tries to poke you with it, any of that kind of stuff.
To be honest with you, I made a creative decision that we weren't really going to do a lot of 3D trickery.
Good.
We were going to really try and let the show speak for itself and then do a lot of special effects that reflected that performance. So it's less poking you in the eye and more about the depth convergence and really feeling like you're in the space.
I got to tell you too that U2 is one of those bands that if you like their music, you would love them at a show. They're really put on a great show. So this sounds like an interesting thing. Yes,
I heard a guy who had already seen it talking about it and saying that he wanted to tell the guy in front of him to put his arms down, and then he realized it was on the screen.
Oh, great.
Wow.
You know, there's some, and I have to tell you, the Brazilian audience, they're, you know, apart from the band being worth the price of admission, the Brazilian audience are equally as fabulous.
Oh, that's where you shot it. Okay.
Oh,
yes.
That's
yes.
what you're saying.
In like South America. We shot in South America.
Gotcha.
If you're telling me there are 3D boobies, Catherine, if that's what you're trying to intimate here, then I am so in. How many songs in U2 3D?
13 songs.
And if the audience stands up and applauds, will they come back for an encore?
Well, you know, there is a little surprise.
No.
Don't leave before the credits finish. That's all I'll say.
Okay, well, that's interesting to know. That happened in Cloverfield, and I left and didn't realize there was a little thing at the end.
That's
so.
Right.
Right. It's probably the same. They probably say, it's still alive.
Sure. Catherine, do you, as someone who's been working in film for a long time, I mean, do you see this sounds like a breakthrough in the technology as you've described it to us? I mean, is this a glimpse into what the future of movie making is going to be? Will we see more movies like this, do you believe?
I think we could. I mean, I'm encouraging every director, every writer, every person who ever wants to make film to explore 3D.
I'd like to see Rage Against the Machine, by the way.
Sorry?
Way. I'd like to see Rage Against the Machine that way, if you could make that happen.
Oh, another concert movie?
Yeah.
You know, it's just so funny, though, because, you know, people who watch high def, for instance, on their TV, now you don't even want to watch regular non-high def programming. I mean, it just seems like the difference between 2D and 3D, it just seems so flat and lifeless. And I just wonder if we get hooked on something like this, if then all of a sudden just going to see a regular, you know, 35mm movie or something like that is just going to seem boring.
Something to be said. I don't think people are ever going to stop making 2D film the same way that people have not stopped working with black and white film footage. But we've actually seen a show on 3D TV, just, you know, for our own amusement.
Right.
We've looked at it on the new Samsung TV, and it is unbelievable. I mean, the future of home 3D TV is even, like, it's really wild.
So you can sit in the privacy of your own home with those dorky glasses on. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. All right. Here's the movie, folks. It's U2 3D. It came out on Wednesday. It's playing at a few theaters around Southern California, including in Irvine at the Edwards 21 Spectrum there, the Los Angeles Bridge Theater in Ontario at the Palace Stadium 22, and, of course, the AMC IMAX at CityWalk Universal. And it's going to open at a bunch more theaters on February the 15th. U2 3D is the movie. Catherine Owens is the director. A great time talking to you, Catherine. Thanks for coming on K-Rock.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
What it do, nephew?
You forget what it was called there?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
What's that first name?
The station.
What's the first name?
Actually.
What's the first name of that?
Pair of tickets to the sold-out, don't you know, Monster Jam tomorrow night at Angel Stadium in Anaheim. Plus, we'll throw in a pair of lift passes to Mountain High. 1-800-520-1067, as always, is the number. It is toll-free. Why don't we start with Eddie? He's on the line from Canoga Park, and he would like to file a personal complaint against our own Ralph Garman.
All right. Eddie, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's
happening? What it do? Yeah, Ralph, why you gotta be such a bitch over the rain, man?
Because the rain blows. That's why.
California, if it ain't heat, it's the rain. If it ain't rain, it's the earthquakes. Don't you see, without rain, we're one step closer to the Valley of the Dirt People?
No,
getting that.
No.
It's not coming through.
Look, yeah. I know it's probably whatever you grew up with. You probably love, I imagine. Like, if you grew up with snow over the holidays, you probably want it to snow over the holidays. I grew up in Phoenix. Never rained. I'm perfectly happy with sun 365 days a year.
I grew up with a ton of rain.
You turned on it. Don't like it, yeah. All right.
Yeah, so stop being a bitch if you grew up with so much rain.
Well, that's why I moved.
Yeah. If it keeps raining, you're going to have to move back.
Quit complaining, Ralph.
Yeah. I am loath to agree with Eddie, but it does seem like if it only rains 10 days a year that it's not really worth complaining
about.
Yeah,
when it's 10 days all at once, it can bite me.
All right, let's go to Brandon. Good morning, Brandon. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hey, so I'm curious if rain is kryptonite for people's driving skills.
That's another reason I hate it. No one knows how to drive in the rain.
Well, people are either driving.
It's people are either driving 10 miles an hour or they're running red lights left and right.
Yeah, it's madness.
You know, we're not really designed for all the rain, and we get a lot of flooding.
Yeah.
I think
another reason it blows.
Hey, yeah. Lisa May barely showed up for work today because of the rain.
She did. I planned ahead. I wouldn't have.
Anything that can keep Lisa from this show is bad.
That's true. Let's go to Chris and Bellflower. Good morning, Chris.
How you guys doing?
Good. What's up? What'd it do?
Me and my girlfriend have been dating for a couple of... Oh, I forgot. What a dude, nephew.
What is fine.
Me and my girlfriend have been dating for about a couple of weeks, two or three, and I just broke up with her this morning.
All right.
Because every morning, I had to have you guys on my alarm clock radio.
Right.
I mean, it's just a thing. It's in my car. It's at the house. There's no gap.
That's cool.
So every morning for 4 days, she has put Big Neighborhood on my damn radio.
Big boy.
Big boy!
Big boy!
What's up with that?
What's up with that? So I tell her, like, no.
You didn't break up with her over our show.
You know what? This was like the last straw.
Yeah, I'm sure there were other things.
There were a couple other things, you know, the little quirkiness, but you can deal with those. But okay. I cannot live without my K-Rock.
Wow.
God bless you, sir.
Right. You're very kind to say that. I happen to believe she was right on the radio issue. I can't speak to whatever other problems you had in your relationship, but seriously, she made the right call, not you.
There are other radio stations that bug us. That's not one of them. If you listen to that, I guess we could see why. You know, it's Seacrest. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
Yeah. Let's go to Javier in West Covina. Good morning, Javier.
Good morning, guys.
What'd it do?
Rambo, horrible.
Oh!
Have you seen it?
You saw the new movie?
Shut up.
Did you see the new
movie? Didn't say anything yet, dick.
Did you see the new movie?
First of all, killing as easy as breathing.
That's correct.
Killing as easy as him breathing because he's so damn old. This guy's washed up. Jason Bourne versus Rambo. Jason Bourne, cool, calm, killer. Rambo, all over the place.
I think there's room for both, my friend.
It's not even comparable. They're not similar movies in any way.
Mike, go bench press or something, man.
Nice.
Have you seen the movie?
Why don't you go bench press?
Yeah, I know. That hurt me. Have you seen the movie, sir?
No, I have not.
No.
All right. You can tell us that it's awful.
I can't wait.
I'll still go see it.
I can't wait.
You'll still go see it.
All right, now I like Javier. It's funny.
All right. I think that's an excellent place to stop, don't y'all?
Sure.
Yeah.
I want to thank our many special guests on today's program, including director Catherine Owens. The film is called U2 3D in some theaters now. Sounds awesome. Also, thanks to Brock Lesnar for joining us today. Brock, of course, is going to be appearing a week from tomorrow at UFC 81 Breaking Point at the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas. Call your local service provider to see it on the pay-per-view. You guys are getting the fight, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Get that one.
That's a good twofer. You got that fight on Saturday night and then the Super Bowl on Sunday.
That's right, man.
So Monday morning, we got an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We are going to, I believe we're going to talk to Anonymous.
Wow.
I believe.
Oh, he's good. I read some of his books, man.
No,
that guy's
that's
great.
Not the person. There's somebody on the internet, and they're going to take down the Church of Scientology.
He does go over with alcoholics, too.
Yes.
Layla Ali will be on the program talking about American Gladiators on Monday.
Greatest show on television.
Who are the
top? I would be making fun of what a bad host she is, except standing next to the Hulkster, she does seem phenomenal on that
show.
She's
fine.
We would look good next to the Hulkster.
Well, don't get nuts.
Nah, I'm saying.
I saw Total Insanity, whatever the hell thing you
hosted. We wouldn't be good. All right. Who are the toughest athletes? We've been having a fight for about a week now. I say hockey. Ralph says football. Ralph's clearly wrong. And K-Rock's World Tour 2008, destination number 4. We're going to make that announcement at 7:20 on Monday morning. So have a great weekend. Stay dry, everybody.
I can't believe it's raining in the O.C.
Oh, my God, it's raining.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Have you ever pooped a balloon?
Roll another one, just like the other one.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
This one seems to be about to quit, and I need another hit.
Beautiful, beautiful pal Cat Corbett is coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the new one from Linkin Park, also some Nirvana, Death Cab for Cutie, 30 Seconds to Mars, and more straight ahead on the world-famous K-Rock.
Roll, roll,
roll.
Sound like a pothead, do I?
Just pass it around.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Marijuana is just nature's way of saying hi.
I think that's it.
Oh.
No, but it's pointless.
Listen, I gotta go.
Thank f***ing God. This has been the longest, dullest, most uncomfortable thing I can remember ever doing. I really thought I was gonna die of boredom.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
This is Santa Monica!
Peace, love, and chicken grease.
I wish I knew how to quit you.